third parak in Maseches Brachos, third parak in Shas, is parak Misha Mesa Mutalafanov. Yeah, what does it say there? Misha Mesa Mutalafanov. So there's one din, Misha Mesa Mutalafanov, is Pata Mikriyashma Mitfilam, Mitfilam Kalmitzus Hamuriz Batur. We follow Taisu Shita, Taisu says over there, Einem Bevarech. So Rashi says he doesn't have to say Kriyashma, he doesn't have to do mitzvahs. We follow Taisu Shita that he's not permitted to do mitzvahs. This is quotes in Talmud Yerushalmi, that it's learned that from the Pasuk. What's the Pasuk again? Yam Shata Mosik Bachaim Be'lo Yam Shata Oisik Ba'meisim. It's assumed that it's only an Asmachta Midrabbanan. That thing is an Asmachta Midrabbanan. That the Misha Meisim Utalafanim is not allowed to do any mitzvahs. Then there's another din. What's the din? Tosis said on the top of Dalet and Aleph, the end of the top Tosis. That Aninus is their Isis. What Aninus is their Isis? So the Rosh says, Aninus benegea to the din that the Oinen is also lechel be Maisusheni, also lechel be Kachim. That's a din their Isis. That's the Pasuk by Vidoi Maisa. This year is the Shnas Vidoi Maisa. Erev Pesach of the fourth year. Erev Pesach of the seventh year, you recite Vidoi Maisa, Biyate Aferish Men Abayis, Gamin Satav La Levi, and you say, Lechal to be Oinen Men, I didn't eat the Maisusheni in a state of Aninus, and we mentioned that's what Aaron HaKoyin Darshan the Kalvachimer. Kalvachimer is one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes. That means the Shagasari writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaKadosh to Kalvachimer Midinechad Lachaveroi, that you learn that from Ma'aser Sheni to Kachim Midinechad Lachaveroi. That's from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes. Kalvachimer Minei Yubei. That's just common sense. You don't need. That's the Shagasari says. In the Meidim, Shagasari has a whole section in the Shulchan Aruch HaKadosh, the second volume, about Chodosh, about the Yisro Chodosh. In the middle of the Chuvas, he discusses if he say that Orlo b'chutz lo'aretz is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the Gemara says ein l'meid m'kal b'chamim mehalacha, you can't expand halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So he quotes Rishonim, that's only to be done from halacha l'moshe m'sinai to a totally different case, but to expand it m'rei yibay, just to work out the details of what this halacha is. For that you don't need yudim l'meid ha'tarn d'resh ha'smem, that kal b'chamim m'rei yibay. That's a regular logic. You don't need midas for that. See, Aaron HaKoyin made a kavuchamim b'dinecha l'chaveira. If a mishan, if an oinen is not like loyachal to be oinen men, he's not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, has a lower level of kedusha. Kavuchamim, he's not allowed to eat kachim in a state of aninus. That was a kavuchamim. That's what we mentioned. That the Vilna Gaon quotes a passage from the Zohar. Aaron HaKoyin represents Dorosh HaBaal Peh. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shemichsav. So I think it refers to that Kal V'chaimer, that the Chumash records the Kal V'chaimer that Aaron HaKoyin made. So the din of Anin is the Raisa, that's been again to Achilas Kachim, to Hakrobas HaKorbanos, a Kohen whose Makriv Anin is the Korbanos Apostle, unless he's a Kohen Gadol. His Makriv Anin Be'en Oichal Anin. Kohen Gadol doesn't have a din of Anin is to be Makriv Korbanos. So the din of Anin is the Raisa is that Eino oichal ma'aser sheni, eino makriv karbonis, eino oichal karbonis. Those are the dinim deraisa. Those dinim deraisa apply. Let's say the person died the at night, and the funeral was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And after the funeral is all finished, so the Gemara says till the end of the day is the din of aninus deraisa, even if it's after the kvura already. And the Gemara had at the end of the second parak in Brachas, the Gemara had a machlekes, what about Aninus Laila? The night following the day of Aninus, what Aninus Laila is the Raisa the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, Kasala Rabbi Gamlila the Mishnah, Rochatz, when his wife died, he bathed the night following the Kfura, because he holds that Aninus Laila is the Rabbanon, so therefore he was makel based on Istinus. If he wouldn't bathe, he would be so, he used to bathe every single day, and if he's not going to bathe, it's going to be itchy, it's going to be annoying. So when Mekel in Istinus Balayla, he wouldn't take a bath the first day, because the first day is Aninus Bayom is Deraisa. But Aninus Laila following the Kvura, that's only the Rabbanim. So that's the din Aninus Deraisa. Then there's a din of Aninus Derabbanim. What's the din of Oinen Mid Rabbanim? So that's the Mishnah. Mishnah Mesa Mutalafana Patami Kriyashma Minatvila Minatvil Kamitz Amuz Batoira. And we says the bottom Taisus. On Yud Zainam and Beis and Brochus, that's the beginning of the third parak. Misha Meis Mot Telefon.
If you bury him not on the Yom HaMisam, is he still an Omei Tafik?
I think so. Yeah, that's the Gemara in. I think so. There, no one holds that the night following would be deraisa there. If it's the same day the person died today and is buried today, then aninus laila is a machlekes whether it's deraisa derabbana. But if the person was buried not on the same day that he died, then for sure the light, the night following, for sure that's not aninus laila deraisa. That's a whole discussion. How far do you go? That's a discussion in Zvachim Daf Kuf. Where it talks about how much of aninus when you get to kachim, how much of aninus is deraisa. Yeah. And here you have dinam of oinen midirabbanon, that the misha mesa mutalafonav is not permitted to perform mitzvahs, that's only midirabbanon. Misha mesa mutalafonav, what else is he not allowed to do? So the Gemara has a braisa there on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Misha mesa mutalafonav, ein oichel basar, ein oichel sayayin. It's not a din of avelus, an avelus permitted to have basar v'yayin. It's only a special din by an oinen. In fact, some Rishonim say that the Sudas Havroya, the first meal after the Kvura, so it's supposed to be, others are supposed to give the meal. Ovel also lechem mishalo. Suda HaRishayna and the Yom HaRishon, we assume. So some Rishonim say, you're only out to the Sudas Havroya if you give Basa V'yayin. It has to be of a Kovadik as Suda. Some say only Yayin, Basa not, because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that find, Nira Yayin el Nachem Bayas O'Avelim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. I forgot already the pasuk. And other Rishonim say no. You have to have basa diyayin, not just yayin. You have to have basa v'yayin. Should be a suda chashuva. So this is a din that's only by oinen. Ein oichel basa v'ein shos yayin. It's only a din by the oinen. It doesn't apply to the oval. Then it says ein meisav oichel. He's not allowed to eat in a reclining position. Means or bismanazen nobody eats behasei, but only at Pesach night, and we find it annoying. Because we're not used to that at all. So by us, the way to apply this din ein meisav yechol means you shouldn't have before the kvura. The oinen is hungry, so you can have a tuna fish sandwich. Can't have a salami sandwich. That's basa. Can't have wine. That's yain. Basa yain. But he's hungry. He's allowed to eat. He doesn't say a bracha before. He doesn't say a bracha after. He's not allowed to say birchas hanenin. He's not allowed to say a bracha achrena either. He's not allowed to do any mitzvahs. But he's not allowed to have a full meal. He shouldn't have a full meal with a lot of courses. He's hungry, so he's allowed to eat. That's the equivalent of meisav v'yochel. Shouldn't eat, hasebe means to have a full meal with all the courses. That's only a dinan by oinen. That's not a din by ovel. What kind of dinam are these? And then it says another din of the oinen, mishameis mutalafanov, is also betash mishamito. He's also betash mishamito. So these are all dinim that apply specially to the oinim. What kind of a din is this? Yeah, it's interesting. These dinim only apply up until the kvura. After the kvura, is chayv mitzvahs. Let's say he shemes mut telefon, but he doesn't daven in the morning. Then right after the kvura, he has to daven. Right after the kvura, if there's enough time, he has to daven mincha. There's machlekes, he has to make tashlumen for shachris that he didn't daven machlekes and shulchan aruch. What the din is? So yeah, he's obligated. He should put on a talis to mincha. For shachri, he didn't daven shachris. He didn't wear a talis today. Didn't put on a talis cotton in the morning. So he has to put on talis in the afternoon, after the kvura is over. Nobody says that misha meis mut telefonav, that he's not allowed to do mitzvahs till the end of the day. Tefillin he doesn't wear. Ovel yom rishon einem neich tefillin goes after the kvura. Before the kvura, he's an oinen. He doesn't do any mitzvahs. After the kvura is over, that is Ovel Yom Rishon. So Ovel Yom Rishon is Eina Min Echt Filin. But other mitzvahs he is M'chuyiv to do. But the Gemara says Aninus applies even after the Kvura. So the Rishonim asked this question. You look in the Tosfei HaRosh, and the Tosfei HaRosh Yudas Sir Leon there, and Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, and they raise that question. So because they give, it's unclear what the answer is. It's unclear what the answer is. This is the incident that Rabbi Soloveitchik told over. That when the Lubavitcher Rebbe's mother died, so Rabbi Soloveitchik went to be Menachem Ovel. There were other Rabbanim at the same time. So the Rebbe started talking and learning in Hilchos Avelus. Hilchos Avelus, you're allowed to talk. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that there's a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos. It happens to be in three places in the Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Rambam says that the Oinen is not allowed to eat, not allowed to be Makar of Korbanos. Not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, not allowed to eat Kachim. That's only up until the Kvura. After the Kvura is Mutter. So Rav Soloveitchik said, there is no such Rambam. So the Rebbe said, no, it's a Rambam. He said, no, there is no such Rambam. So he said, I'll show you. So he got up to go to the bookcase to pull out Rambam. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I pushed him down. And I said, you don't have to bother yourself. There is no such Rambam. So after the Shiva was over, the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent him a Xerox copy of Kapach's edition of the Pirush HaMishnah Islah Rambam, where Kapach writes that in the standard edition that's printed in all the Gemaras, the Rambam has this in three different places. That the oinen is also lechem ma'aser sheni, also lechem the kotshim, and he's not allowed to be makor karbonis. It's only up until the kfura. After the kfura is not so. And Kapach had an original copy of the Rambam's manuscript, but he crossed it out and he changed it in the Arabic. So he did the translation. Kapach made the translation from the correction, the Madura Basra, that the Rambam wrote. So he corrected it because that's mamish against the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was saying a Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, so that he remembered. There is no such Rambam. But the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, Taka says that in three places. Rambam himself corrected it. Rashi writes like that in a few places. The Tosis is Masik on the Rashi, that by the din de reis of Aninus, that is also the Kotshim, and also the Maaseh Sheni, and possible to do Hakrovas HaKarbonis, that doesn't end with Kvur. That's a din in Aninus. Even Aninus Lilo. The Gemara Ezer Pasam. Maybe even the night following, the Kvur was already 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Even the night following, according to one opinion in Gemara, is a din of Aninus Der Isa.
So if you do Kvur on the next day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
does he have to wait till the end of that day?
I don't remember the details. You got to look in the Gemara. I think you do. I think it's just the night following doesn't apply. You have to look in Zvachim Daf Kuf, where the Gemara has all the details. When you get to Einim, so Rav Soloveitchik used to say on this kasha that the Rishonim asked, he used to say he doesn't think it's a kasha. He says in Yerideya, in the end of Yerideya, they have all of Hilchas Avelus, so the siman before is Hilchas Aninus. So you use the same lashon. Einin is also the basar, also the yain, also ein amesa biyachal, also the tashmish amito, also lekai mitzvahs. So in Shulchan Aruch they call it hilchas haninus. So he said it's a misnomer. They're two different things. And einin their raisa is also the ma'aser sheni, also the kachim, also the akrovas akarbanis. And this is a different din. This is a din of misha mesa mutalafanov. So it really should say in Shulchan Aruch hilchas misha mesa mutalafanov. So they wanted to do us a favor, so they wrote it Bikitza. So they called it Hilchas Aninus. But it's really, like Karab Zelzad, they have nothing to do with each other. The Dinam of Aninus is even following the Kvur. Like Al Tabi Adim Imen, that's a din of Aninus. And these Dinam Derabbanan, Ein Eichel Basar, Ein Shosa Yayin, and Ein Mesa V'Yoichel, and so on, and Ein Mekai Mitzvah, these are all Dinam Derabbanan. These are Dinam Mishemes Mutalafanov. And what's the reason why it's also the Basar V'Yayin? He shouldn't get so involved in the bus of a yayin. He's going to be negligent. He won't take care of the kvura. Ein amesa v'yachal shouldn't eat a full course meal. If he's hungry, we permit him to eat, but he shouldn't eat a full course meal. He may get so involved in eating the food, he's not going to take care of the kvura. So that's why these dinim, and not allowed to be mekayim mitzvahs either, because we want that he should concentrate more on the kvuras ames. But it's not a status. Not that there's a hilchas avelus in the oinen. There's not a hilchas avelus on the oinen. So the isa tashmish amito is also the gemara of the ferish. The oinen is also the tashmish amito. Let's say we said that we saw the Rambam in the beginning of hilchas avel perak aleph halacha beis. The Rambam says when do all the hilchas avelus begin? So he says only after the kvura. Before the kvura, none of the hilchas avelus begin. So if nothing begins, so what's a din? Ein oichel basar, ein oichel yayin. That's not hilchas avelus. That the oval himself is allowed to eat basar v'yayin. So even the din that is also b'tashmish amita, the oval and shiva is also b'tashmish amita. According to the Rambam, there shouldn't have been an isa tashmish amita before kvura. The isa tashmish amita like ein oichel basar, ein oichel yayin, ein oichel v'yachol. Shouldn't get so involved in eating in his food that he's going to be negligent as far as the kvuras ames. We even tell him he's not allowed to do any other mitzvahs, that he should concentrate on the kvuras ames. So the same thing also b'tashma shamita, if he's going to get too involved in oilam hazeh, and hanos oilam hazeh, is going to forget about the kvuras ames. So the isa, according to the Rama, the isa tashma shamita before kvura The oinen is also b'tash b'shamit and misha meisim mutalafana. And these say after kvura, they're two different isurim. After kvura, it's a din of avelos. Before the kvura, the Rama holds none of the laws of avelos are knowing. It's a different din. It's a din of misha meisim mutalafana. Like eino chod basim, eino shesayayin. So part of that is that the also b'tash b'shamit, but it's not the same din. So that's what the Gemara says here on the bottom of Dalam of the Beis. The Gemara says, why do you need a shmir over here? Hu yoshim ben anoshim, yishti yishena ben anoshim. Every case of a couple who is someone is sitting shiva, the husband and the wife are sitting shiva, and they're also b'tash b'shamito. So you insist there's an isa yichud. The Gemara says, there is no isa yichud. What's going on? So first the Gemara suggested a chilek, who's sitting shiva? The husband or the wife? If the wife is sitting shiva, she's going to be, women are more emotional. So if the wife is sitting shiva, she's not going to let the husband, she's not going to want, she's not going to have a desire to have tash b'shamit, and the husband, she won't let the husband touch her. So if the wife, avel is dido, you don't need any harchokas. But if avel is dido, he's sitting shiva, so the men are not so emotional. So if the husband is sitting shiva, he may violate the din of tash b'shamit in the middle of shiva, so then you need shmiris. Then you have to have, then there'll be an isa yichud. Then the Gemara rejects it. What are you talking about? Avelis, everyone is going to observe. Special din over here, because we were mako, that's where I finally answered, 10 lines from the bottom. Rav Ashi Amar, Nikam Adam, Avelis Tachal, Avelis Dalm, Avelis De Alma, Chomer, Vela Asa Luzulzuli Bey, Avelis Tachocha, Kiv Nakila Bey Rabban, and Asa Luzulzuli Bey. Gemara wants to know, what's over here? Who is mako and Avelis? Gemara says, because we allowed them to be boiled mitzvah, boiled bilas mitzvah. Usually we don't allow Tash Mishay, we allowed it. So the Gemara says, that's not a kula in Hilchas Avelis, that's a kula in Hilchas Aninus, that's a kula in Hilchas Mishamesu with the Lepano. Why should this lead the person to be Mezalzel in Tash Mishamita during Shiva? We would never make on Hilchas Avelis. So according to Taisus, it's problematic. It's a little problematic. He can answer, but Taisus holds it all at Ashkenazim, Father Taisus. All the laws of Avelis begin right away at the Misa, except for also Lotzis Mepesach Beisai, and Nilos Hasangel, because if he'll observe that, he won't be able to be metapel in the kvura. So according, and the Rambam holds nothing begins before. So according to the Rambam, none of the laws of Avelis begin before. But Tash Mishamita is also, the answer is no, Tash Mishamita is a different Easter. So like, Eino Echol Basav, Eino Shesiyayin, Veino Mesa V'Yechol, so Eino Mishamish Mitosa, it's a different Easter. Shouldn't get so involved in Gashmias that he's going to be negligent as far as the Kvura. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara reads very well. The Gemara says, who is Mekel in Hilchas Avelos? Hasem Shum Dalachal of Avelos. What do you mean? We weren't Mekel anything. We were Mekel. Mishem Mesem Utalafon normally is also B'tash Mishamit. But it was a Kula in Hilchas Aninus. It wasn't a Kula in Hilchas Avelos. Masheni can according to Taisvis, the Gemara is problematic. Taisvis holds that all the laws of Avelos begin before, except for those laws that you have to violate in order to take care of the kvura. So Tash Mishamit doesn't help them take care of the kvura. So Tashma should be also before because of Hilchas Avelis. So we were Mekel in Hilchas Avelis. So what did Gemara say? What's the kula? Shiny Hachad Kibna Kila Be Rabban Nosel Zulzul Be. Gemara says, my kula. Who is Mekel in Hilchas Avelis? Elaim, if you're going to say the kula was that is Boel Bilis Mitzvah Pirish. Gemara says, no, it's because Hilchas Avelis didn't begin. The Shiva didn't begin. The Kiyama Mitzvah. But the Issa Tash Mishamit of Avelis did begin. So according to Taisus, you have to be matchek a little bit. True, Hilchas Avelis began, but at that time he was an oinen, and they had the other dinim. The Ovel won't perceive it as a kula in Hilchas Avelis. His perception will be that we were making on Hilchas Aninus. But in Echanami, Hilchas Avelis do begin. According to the Rambam, the Gemara is much better. So the Ma'aseh said, we are Mekel here. We are being Mekel. We permit the Boel Bilas Mitzvah Poyresh. The Ma'aseh, he's a Misha Mesa Mutalafonav. He should have been also the Tash Mishamita. Tash Mishamita is also not only at Shiva, Tash Mishamita is also in Aninus as well, the holidays. That's a Gemara. It's a Gemara Moed Kotten. It's a Gemara Moed Kotten. That's Beferish. The three different Madregas. Basically, the three different madrigas in Hilchas Avelis, you have Shiva, you have Shloshim, and then you have Yud Beis Chodesh. Yud Beis Chodesh is only by Yavi V'Imam, Mishum Kvoidav. And Shiva Shloshim he had by all of their relatives. Then within Shiva they were Chilukim. Abul Yom Rishon is more chomer than the other days. He's also laniach tefillin. Then there's a din. Abul the first 3 days is more chomer than the last 4 days. The Gemara has in Moed Katan differences, but basically it's 3 madregas. And Shiva Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh. Here, Yud Beis Chodesh, the Abul is not allowed to go to parties. So then the Tosis quotes the halacha. He's not allowed to go to a wedding. The Abel is not allowed to attend a wedding. What if he's a young guy? He was never married before. He wants to get married and raise a family. So Tosis quotes the din that Mishein Labanim, we permit him to get married in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh. Why is that? Why are we Mako?
Where is Christmas?
The Tosis and Dalan and Aleph, the middle of the Ramascha Labalip Chaloi. That's the Gemara Moed Katan they're quoting. Gemara Moed Katan Beferish. Mishein Labanim is permitted to get married in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh, and maybe even in the middle of Shloshim. That was the Machlokes Dari and the Rabbeinu Tam. Why do we permit him in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh to get married? So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has a tshuva where he's talking about a different topic. He's talking about you're not allowed to marry Muberes Chaverim and Ekes Chaverim. So totally different din. So he wants to come out that in Maka Mitzvah it's mutter. In Maka Mitzvah should be mutter. And he makes a kavachamer from this. Here you see that in Maka Mitzvah you make a lot of havelis, you'd be chodesh, there's certainly there's room to make a lot over there. So I thought that Abitz Kohanan, okay, it's Mara Dasri here, she was Abitz Kohanan, but I thought Alpi Pashtus that the heter is a different heter. I thought these are all the same heter. Rabbi Gamliel bathed, the Mishnah said at the end of the second parak in Brochas. He spoke about the Mishnah Tezainim bathed. Rabbi Gamliel Rochatz Laila Harishon Shemesa Ishta, the night after the Kvura, he bathed. Omoloi said the Talmidim asked, Alala Madatana Rabbeinu, you taught us the Din Shavala Salirchatz, Amalei Meinik Shabbane Adam, Ishta the Sani, Mitztar. So what's the Heter Istanis? B'makam Tzara Lagazabe Rabbanon. So the Pashtus is, the Gemara is like that in Hilchas Shabbos, that a Chodesh Emes Hakana, sometimes we'll make along Zeres the Rabban. Mokam Tzara Lagaz Be'Rabban. So the Pashup Shat here is, it's not a Vort, Mokam Tzara Lagaz Be'Rabban. The Vort is like this. The Chachamim required a certain intensity of Avelis and Shiva, and in Shloshim is a little less, and Yibes Chodesh is a little less. So the intensity of the Avelis is serious. But if the Ovel is not going to bathe and he's going to be itching, he's going to be scratching himself, he's going to be very annoying, that's more than the Chachamim required. Once it passes over, they require that he should lead a life of nivel, dirty. He shouldn't bathe. And he shouldn't wear nice clothes. So, but if they're not bathing, is more than nivel. It already passes into the category of mitztayer, so that's more than the halacha required. So that's why there's a heteristinus. So the same thing in Yud Beis Chodesh, Alava Valimai, that is the Ovel is not allowed to take a haircut. Not allowed to take a haircut till he reaches the point that Shigarbo Chaverov. Let's say he has long hair. It looks like a shaggy dog. So people tell him, you look awful, or it says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't have to wait till people tell him. People are not going to tell him. He looks in the mirror. He sees himself that he looks awful. So if he looks awful, then when it reaches the Shira Gaira, Shigarbo Chaverov, then he's allowed to take a haircut. Why? That's more than the din requires. The din doesn't require nivul in Yud Beis Chodesh. If it's Achigar B'chaver, he looks awful. So that's already nivul. The din only requires miut tanugim. Shouldn't go to parties. He shouldn't spruce himself up. He always wants to look just so. He always wants to be very snazzy, very dressed up nicely. So he always takes a haircut when he needs it. So now he shouldn't be so snazzy. But if he looks awful, so then that's nivul already. So that's more than the din requires. And you have the same thing in Shloshim. The din is in Shloshim. The Ovel is not allowed to put on Kele Megu Hudson, the clothing that was ironed clothing. So some Rishonim say only if you got the suit from the cleaner, you just got it from the cleaner and no one wore it yet. If you already wore it for a month, so others hold that it's mutter. And then there's a chumre called manshi gihutzam nikar. As long as the crease is still there, so we consider that kele meguhotzim. So that's in Shloshim, one is not permitted to wear kele meguhotzim. And Hilchas Tisha B'Av has like that. That during on Tisha B'Av itself, Medina de Gemara, it says Kol Advarim Hanshanagim Ba'Avam Nagim B'Tisha B'Av. All the laws of Shiva apply on Tisha B'Av. The Tushayla Tisha B'Av has a din like Shiva, like the first day of Shiva or the last 6 days of Shiva. Nafkamina, whether the Avol wears tefillin on Tisha B'Av. If Tisha B'Av has a din like Avelis Yom Rishon, so he doesn't wear tefillin. If Tisha B'Av has a din like the last 6 days, then he does wear tefillin. So Tosfos and Ma'id Katan discusses it. Tosfos and Ma'id Katan discusses it. Does it have a din like Avol Yom Rishon? Does it have a din like the last days? And so Tosfos says, no, it does not have the din of Avol Yom Rishon. And the Rambam quotes some guy and hold that yes, that all day of Tisha B'Av has a din of Avol Yom Rishon, he's not allowed to wear tefillin. So quotes, there was a practice from the Goyim not to wear tefillin all day long on Tisha B'Av. We have a compromise practice. We don't wear tefillin in the morning, wear tefillin in the afternoon. What is that all about? So in other words, we hold that Tisha B'Av like Tosfos. We hold Tisha B'Av is not like Avol Yom Rishon. It's like the last 6 days. But we don't wear tefillin in the morning based on a different minhag, like we remove the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh, because the Pasuk says, Bitza Emrasoi. The Pasuk in Echo says, Bitza Emrasoi. So the Targum says, Bitza Emrasoi was a purpurlin delay, that the Parechas and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we take off the Parechas from Shul in the morning of Tisha B'Av. So based on the same Pasuk, Bitza Emrasoi, we have a meaning that we don't wear tefillin to Shachar. That's a meaning. Vikra Din we hold, you do wear. There were Tzadikim and Gedolim who put on tefillin in the morning. They didn't want to observe that minhag. They felt it's not right. If you have an opportunity to wear tefillin, let's say today, on a normal day, a guy's going to wait till late tefillin until 4:30. It's before the shkia, what's the problem? So we say, no, it's Zriz Magdim in the mitzvah. If you can wear tefillin in the morning, so put on in the morning, why should you wait till the afternoon? So what do you mean you have a minhag not to wear tefillin at Tisha B'Av till the afternoon, until you wear Dav Mincha? That's not right. On a normal day, we would say that's not proper. So there were Gedolim in all the generations who didn't like that minhag. They held that that's a minhag shtus, a minhag tos. But that's our minhag. But it's not that it's based on the observance of the Shitas HaGoyinim that Avol Yom Rishon, that Tisha B'Av is dina ke Avol Yom Rishon. Basically, we hold Tisha B'Av is like the last 6 days of Avelis. So again, the Gemara has Mi'ikar Adin, Medina the Gemara, Kol Advarim Shenogim B'Av, Nogim B'Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av has a din like Shiva. Then Ashkenazim have a minhag that we observe during the 9 days Miktsas Avelus like Shloshim, and we observe in the 3 weeks up until the 9 days we observe it like Yud Beis Chodesh. So it says in the Ramah that in the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh till after Tisha B'Av we observe the dinim like Shloshim. So it says you shouldn't wear Big Day Shabbos. Mazad Big Day Shabbos. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Vilna Gaon abolished the minig. He said it's against the din. It's a minig shtus because the Mishnah says that in the Suda Hamavsekes you're not allowed to have bose, you're not allowed to have yayin, you're not allowed to have shnei tavshilin. But if Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzoi Shabbos on Sunday, so you're allowed to eat everything. Afilu kesuda shloima b'shaita, you can have shalashudas whatever you want. So you see, so the Vilna Gaon says you see from the Mishnah that you don't observe any element of avelus at all on Shabbos, even the din. That Suda Mapsek is you're not allowed to have Shnei Tavshilin, you're not allowed to have Bas of a Yayin. That's a din in the Mishnah. So we don't observe the din in the Mishnah. So Kal V'Chomer over here, not to wear Big Day Shabbos in the 9 days, that's a later minig. So that for sure should not be observed on Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon abolished the minig, and then the Vilna Gaon's influence was felt in the outskirts of Vilna. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that we don't observe that anymore. But where did the minig come from? Where does the minhag come from that you don't wear Big Day Shabbos in the 9 days? Where did that come from? Where is there such halacha? What are they latching on to? In the 9 days, the minhag is you observe avelus like shloshim. What does Big Day Shabbos have to do with shloshim? So you look on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch, they have the Levush Yisrod on Aruch Hayim. So Levush Yisrod explains why. Because the Gemara says, Medina the Gemara, you're not permitted to wear Kelim Meguhotzim during shloshim. What does it mean, Kelim Meguhotzim? So some Rishonim say, Kelim Meguhotzim, they just pressed the suit, they just cleaned it, and they made a crease, and it just came from the cleaner, so the first time you're going to wear it, it's called Kelim Meguhotzim. But if I already got it from the cleaner a month ago, I'm wearing this suit already a month, so that's already not called Kelim Meguhotzim. And others are machmer, no, calls manchi gihutzam nikar. As long as the crease is still noticeable, so then you're not allowed to wear it. So that's what they call Big Day Shabbos. That's what the Ramah calls Big Day Shabbos. All week long, he used to wear jeans. He used to wear dungarees, whatever. They didn't wear trousers that had a crease in them. So the only beggar that they wore that had a crease in it was the Big Day Shabbos. So the Ramah says that there was a minig not to wear Big Day Shabbos because Kelim Ugohatim is also in Shloshim. Not allowed to wear it during the 9 days. And they would observe that minig even on Shabbos. But by us, it doesn't make sense unless a person today is going to want to follow the Ramah, not going to follow the Vilna Goyim, who abolished the minig. Then on Shabbos, he can do everything. Going to want to follow the Ramah. Well, follow the Ramah, so what? So instead of wearing a Shabbos suit, you're going to wear a weekday suit. Weekday suit has crease in the trousers also. It's also a big day Shabbos. Or over here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Breuer, Zechana Lebracha, they say, on Shabbos Chazayin, he wouldn't put on his Shabbos dikah hat. He would wear the weekday hat. I thought it didn't make any sense at all. The whole Chumra Big Day Shabbos goes on the trousers. Kelim Uguhatsin, that's what the Levush Yisrod explains. Rav Soloveitchik said, over the Levush Yisrod, it's printed on the page. Where does it come from not to wear Big Day Shabbos? What, a hat? A Shabbos dikah hat as opposed to a weekday hat? Nehecha Teisa. What has it got to do with Shloshim?
In the Ma'aril, it sounds like
For Shabbos?
Yeah.
What do you mean the trousers mean? He wouldn't change the trousers.
I don't know. Sure. I don't know.
I don't know what it says in Maril, but that's what the Levush Yisrod explains over here. That the kpedas on the trousers calls Manshiki put some nikar, so we consider that Kelim Uguhotzim. That in Shloshim you're not allowed to wear Kelim Uguhotzim. So the practice is, then some of the Rishonim say, if you have, what's the difference between Kelim Mechubasim and Kelim Meguhatsim? So many Rishonim assume Kelim Meguhatsim means there has a gihutz, there has a crease in the trousers. Kelim Mechubasim, just it was washed. Then the Mechaber in Hilchus Tisha B'Av quotes, based on the Gemara, that if you wash the clothing with detergent, so all the clean clothing have the status Kelim Meguhatsim. Since we wash our clothing with detergent, so all of the clean clothing, our clothing, when we wash it in the washing machine, becomes very clean. In Bavel, maybe not. The Gemara says in Bavel, Giyut Shalanu, Kekibu Shalahem. In Eretz Yisrael, the din was you're not allowed to wear Kelim Mechubasim. And in Bavel, the water wasn't so clean and they didn't have any detergent. So in Bavel, they said, Giyut Shalanu, Kekibu Shalahem. It's only us in Shloshim to wear Kelim Mechubasim if they had Giyutz. If they didn't have Giyutz, it's not called Kelim Mechubasim. So the Mechaber writes in Nochas Tisha B'Av, Bezman Hazeh, we would assume that Kibbutz Shalanu, Kigiyutz Shalahem, the way we wash our clothing with the detergent, that's on the same level as Giyutz in Bnei Bavel, which was the equivalent of Kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. So you shouldn't wear clean clothing in the middle of Shloshim. So the Pischit Shuba writes in Yerideya, that the Ovel, after Shiva, is not allowed to change his shirt. He has to wear the same shirt. What if the shirt is absolutely filthy? It looks awful. So the Pischit Shuva usually is a likut. Usually he quotes from Achrayim, who preceded him. So here he writes an original Chiddush. He writes as a Dava Pashut in his mind, without quoting any source, says a Dava Pashut, that if the shirt is so filthy that he's embarrassed to walk around like that during Shloshim, it's a Dava Pashut, he's allowed to change his shirt. In Shloshim, why? Because that's more than the halacha requires. The halacha requires in the middle of Shiva nivol merube, in the middle of Shloshim nivol b'miktzas, and in Yud Beis Chodesh the halacha only requires miut tanugim. So in Shiva the halacha requires nivol merube, but not tzar. So if someone is an istinus, that already went over the border, that crossed over what the chachamim required. They never required of the oval that he should be mitztayer. So if he's an istinus and he has to bathe because he's so itchy. So that's more than the halacha requires, so it's mutter. In the middle of Shloshim, the halacha requires nivul b'miktzah. So what if he's going to have, by not changing his clothing, not to wear clean clothing, he's going to look awful. His shirt is filthy. So let's say underwear. Underwear gets all greasy. The body has oils and so on, perspiration and everything, going to smell. So for sure it's permissible to switch in Shloshim, to switch the clothing. Why? The halacha never required in the first place nivel merubah. The halacha, in the middle of Shiva, if one is so annoyed by the underwear that it's annoying that the underwear is dirty, so then he's allowed to change the underwear in the middle of Shiva also, because that's mitztayer. But we wouldn't allow it, if it's just dirty, we wouldn't allow him to change the clothing in the middle of Shiva, middle of Shloshim. If it's nivel meruba, that's more than the din requires. So that already enters into the observance of Shiva. You know, mechuyav to observe the nihug of Shiva in Shloshim. And it's the same heter. All three are the same. The heter for achigar b'chaver v'nyir b'schoyrish, because that's already nivel. So the halacha never required nivel on yibes chodesh. So all three have a heter. If the neo gavelis is too severe, it goes into the next category. In the middle of Shiva, if it's istinus, it's mitzar. That's more than the din required. In the middle of Shloshim, if it's nivel merube, that's more than is required in Shloshim. In Yud Beis Chodesh, if it's nivel, then that's more than the halacha required. So the pashtu says that in Yud Beis Chodesh, the oval has to be noig miyut tanugim. So the guy wants to get married. Why does he want to get married? He wants to have a good life. He wants to have a good time. No, he wants to move on in life. What, he's going to wait another year? He's already 23 years old, and he has a nice girl. He wants to get married. So he's not getting married to have a good time with his girlfriend. He wants to get married. No, it's time he has to get married. So he wants to, ein lo banim, or yesh lo banim ktanim. What motivates, in Shulchan Aruch has a lot of times, what motivates the oval to violate the laws of Avelis plays a crucial role. Let's say the oval in Yid Beis Chodesh is not allowed to go to a wedding. What if he's the Masadik Yidushin? He's not going to the wedding in order to have a good time. He's going to be Masadik Yidushin. Then he's going to leave. What if he's part of the orchestra? He does it for Parnasa. Then it says he's permitted to go. He's not attending the wedding to have a good time. When he plays music, he enjoys it also. But what motivated him in the first place to go to the wedding is not so much to have a good time. Everyone picks up a parnasa that he enjoys. I enjoy teaching Gemara. Another person enjoys selling stocks. A person should always pick a field that he enjoys. So the musician enjoys playing music. But what motivates him to go to the wedding is because that's his parnasa. That's why he's going to go. So that's permissible. So that's the same. Misha ein lo isha ubanim. He doesn't have any children. So of course he's allowed to get married in Yud Beis Chodesh. What's motivating to go to his own wedding is he wants to get married and have children and raise a family. Yesh lo banim ktanim. What do you want? What's his rush to get married? Now he has little children, so someone has to take care of the children. So he has to marry a girl so that the wife will take care of the children. So that's why it's a heter. It's not a heter like Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan said, that the mitzvah piririvya is so great, so the mitzvah is mater. It's not b'moka mitzvah l'gozer b'rabbon. It's not, let's say, istin. It's not that b'moka mitzar l'gozer b'rabbon. It's not a special heter. No, it's all the same thing. The halacha has three different categories of nihu gavelus. And when it's too severe, it already enters into a different category. So that's more than the din required. So then it's mutter. So Taisus here has a din. Let's say Mishiesh Labanim Ktanim. Mishiesh Labanim Ktanim. And his wife died. So normally, what is Taisus quote? Normally the din is, let's say an older person loses his wife. The beginning of the Taisus, Avalip Chaloi. So Taisus quotes from Per Gimel Amoy, Kotten Abchav Gimel Amadala. Visham, it means on that daft there's a relevant tosis that talks about the same topic. So Gemara says, Mesa Yishtoi, Ozalisa, Chiyawa Gimel Ugon. What kind of a din is that? You have to wait, Sholosh Ugonim. So the Gemara says, because it's not permissible for a person to live with his wife is not good looking, let's say. So whenever he's with his wife in bed, he's always dreaming about some movie star. He's always thinking about someone else. So the Gemara said, that's not right. And even he's married to both of them. He's married to the movie star and to the ugly wife. So he should think about the other wife when he's with this wife. So the Gemara says, Mishimesa Ishtoi, so he's going to be dreaming about his wife for a long time. His wife passed away. So he shouldn't remarry until Sholosh Ugonim go by, because we're afraid he'll be sleeping with the second wife and he'll still be dreaming about the first wife. That's not right. It's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ramban from the Torah Sodom, that the Ramban says the Gemara only said it in this direction. The Gemara didn't say in the other direction. A husband dies, so the Gemara never said the wife is not allowed to remarry until Sholosh Ugonim, because the wife will be dreaming about her first husband. So the Ramban says, because psychologically it's not so. The wife will marry a new guy, and she'll be happy with him. The husband will still be dreaming about his wife. So I always wondered, how did the Ramban know this psychology? He made a survey. a couple of years ago, a psychologist was speaking in the yeshiva here at Shal Shudas, and he said that psychologically, he said, my wife is not here, so I can say this. If his wife would be here, he wouldn't say it. So he said, psychologically, they made surveys, and they said they discovered that the husband will be dreaming about his wife, and the wife won't be thinking about, when, once the wife remarries, so she won't be thinking about the husband. So I told him that it says like that in Shulchan Aruch. He wasn't aware of that. He said that they made surveys like that. So the Ramban had Ruach HaKodesh, or the Ramban made the psychological survey, whatever, one or the other. So there's such a din in the Gemara that the Oval, Misha Mesa Ishto, Rishayna, is not allowed to remarry until Sholosh Ragon go by. What happens if he has a need to? Lokiyim Pirivirivya, or Yesh Labonim Ktanim. So then we allow him. We allow him. You have no choice. We are Mekel. We allow him to marry within the Sholosh Ragon. So let's say Mishieshla Banim Ktanim. So we allow him to marry. Tosis says we allow him to marry after Shiva. Tosis assumes it's a Dovah Pasha. We wouldn't permit him to shtel a chuppah in the middle of Shiva. How do they know? As it says in our Gemara. That's how Tosis says. As it says in our Gemara. Here, the first wide line in the Tosis, Dalan Amad Aleph. See the Tosis. V'toch Shiva Vada Yosef. To marry in the middle of Shiva, that's for sure, Rasa, kinemucha chocha, as it says in our Gemara. Yeah, it says in our Gemara, he's not allowed to get married. That's for a normal person not to get married. But maybe Mishesh Labonim Ketanim, maybe it's mutter to get married in the middle of Shiva. How do they say kinemucha chocha? I don't know. I don't know how it's muchach. Not allowed to get married in the middle of Shloshim either. The Tosis thinks that there it is, Tosis proves from the Gemara. There is mutter to get married after Shiva. They think in the middle of Shiva it's awesome. I, the fellow, said to his sister-in-law, the Gemara tells a story, that where the Tosafot quote the story, that the wife died and he told the wife's sister in the cemetery that he wants to marry her. So the Pasha... Ishto shel Yosef HaKoyin. Maisa shmeisa ishto Yosef HaKoyin. V'yomal achoyseb beis hakoret si uparnasei b'nei achoyseich. I want you to marry me and you'll raise the children. V'afel b'chein lebo aleho ad lachas ma merube. So the Gemara says ma'iz ma merube shloshim yom. Yeah. So Tosis says, you see, you're allowed to marry the girl even though it's also b'tashmash amitah. So maybe it means you're allowed to marry her in the middle of Shiva, but you're not allowed to be bo aleho till after shloshim. Yeah, why is it also love aleho till after shloshim? There is no such din. Tashem shamita is only us in the middle of Shiva. Why all of a sudden over here Tashem shamita is also till after shloshim? The answer is no. That's normal. If a couple is married, they're married many years, and then someone dies, so that Tashem shamita is only also during Shiva. He was talking the bir rishona after they got married. Bir rishona after they get married is a big excitement. So that's also until after Shloshim. That's not Mutter. But if the couple is married already for years and then someone becomes an Ovel, so the Yisr Tashem Shamit is only during Shiva. After Shiva is up in the middle of Shloshim, Tashem Shamutter. Here it's a special din. So that story in Maseches Smoches tells he married her at one point, but it was Asul Ovel Aleo until Zman Merubah, till after Shloshim. So when did he marry her? So Tosafot says, you can't say that he married her in the middle of Shiva, kinemucha chocha. You're not allowed to get married in the middle of Shiva. What do you mean, kinemucha chocha? Our Gemara is not talking to Mishesh Labonim Ketanim. Our Gemara is talking a normal case. A normal case, and not allowed to get married in the Shloshim either. I don't see how it's mucha chocha. But that's what they say. You're allowed to get married after the Shiva is up, but it's also love aleha until after the Shloshim. So why is it taka muta to marry the girl in the middle of Shloshim? Why is that muta? Usually it's asa. The answer is what that what motivates the person to, what motivates the person to violate the Hilchos Avelos plays a crucial role in determining whether it's asa or muta. So here, Mishayesh Labanim Ktanim, he needs someone to take care of the children. So that's what motivates him to get married. It's not that he doesn't want to be noyeg the nevel. He has a hechrich over here. Yesh lebonim ktanim. So then you have no choice. I don't think this is a special heter. I think it's like the heter of distinus, like the heter vigar b'chaver, like the fischachuvah's heter, the way kelim agohotzim in the middle of the shloshim. Once it becomes too severe, that's by definition more than the chachamim required. So here, this is one of the kulas. Like the rabbi is allowed to attend the wedding in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh, the rabbi's in Avelus, because he's attending the wedding to be Masada Kiddushin, or the musician is allowed to attend the wedding. What motivates him is to go make a parnasa. He's not interested in having a good time. So my impression is that this heter also, Mishesh Lebonim Ketanim, is allowed to get married, because what motivates him to get married, he needs someone to take care of the children. So it's not that he doesn't want to observe Nibul. It's not a question of Nibul. He has to get married. He has to have someone to take care of the children. Same heter to get married in Yud Beis Chodesh after Shloshim. That was a machlekes, the Re in the Rabbeinu Tam. If Mishiyesh Lo Banim Ketanim is allowed to get married after Shiva, but he's not allowed to be Baal Leho till after Shloshim, so why is he allowed to get married if he's also Lo Banim? Because he has no Brera. He has to have someone to raise the children. So now the question is, what about Mishiyesh Lo Banim at all? What motivates him to get married? He wants to move on in life. So we say he's allowed to get married in Yud Beis Chodesh. Would it make sense to say he's allowed to get married in Shloshim, but he's also love Allah to left the Shloshim? So what does he accomplish? It doesn't make any sense. What is he accomplishing? The whole reason why we permit him to get married, because he wants to start raising a family. So you're going to say he's mutter to marry after Shiva, but he's also love Allah to left the Shloshim. So what is the purpose of getting married? The whole heter to get married is because Mishein lo bottom. He has no children. He wants to raise a family. So it's also love aleo. So either say don't get married till after Shloshim, or say you're allowed to get married after Shiva and you're allowed to be baleo also. So that's machlokes d'ri in the Rabbeinu Tam. By yesh lo bottom ktanim, it says befeirush maseches machos. He's allowed to get married earlier, but it's also love aleo lachas Shloshim. How much earlier? So Tosfos thinks after Shiva. You think that's out of the question. To permit him to get married in the middle of Shiva, they think that's kenemucha chacha. That can't be. Well, allow him to marry right after Shiva is up, and also love aleo till after Shloshim. Why? Because the bir rishayin of the marriage is a big simcha. It's not the regular din also b'tashmish amita. That's a big simcha. So there's a gap between the time he gets married and the time is muta love aleo. So why do we allow him to get married? Because yesh lebonim ketanim. But by mishein lebonim, he doesn't have bonik tam shein lebonim, so it doesn't make sense to allow him to get married earlier, and he should be also level L. So what did he accomplish by getting married earlier? So either you have to say, is mutter to get married earlier and love aleho? Right after Shiva, everything is mutter. Or you're not allowed to get married till after the Shloshim. So that's machlek is the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam. So which way did the Rabbeinu Tam say? That you're allowed to marry and mutter livel right after the Shiva in the middle of Shlosh. So then Tosfos says, but there's a problem with the Maseches Machos. It doesn't. Where's that Tosfos? Rabbeinu Yosef, Hevi Raile, Dvar, me, this not Maseches Machos. I'll call him Mason, Mosel, Lel, Besa Mishtah, Shalim, Alamad, Yo, Alav, Alim, Osir, Kosha, Mesel, Chodesh, Elen, Kain, Hoyla, Mitzvah, Alma, Shoy, Bechol, Mishtah, Shal, Mitzvah. No. Where's Tosfos quoted before? No. The Maseches Machos doesn't read straight according to Rabbeinu Tam. Here, the one to the fifth wide line. Rabbeinu Tam writes a line, the Be'en Labonim afilo livel shoy tal shloshim achas shivam shem peribriv. V'hi des Machos enimis yashev es kid perushoy. They say the Maseches Machos doesn't read straight according to Rabbeinu Tam. So that doesn't bother the Rabbeinu Tam, because Maseches Machos is from the Goinim. So he dismisses it. We had yesterday, we learned the Tosfos on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, where there's a Beferish comment in Maseches Machos. Rabbeinu Tam said it's Mishabeshta. The Goyim made a mistake. Maseches Machos was composed by the Goyim. So Rabbeinu Tam is free to ignore it. And Rabbeinu Tam Mishabeshasi. He says the Maseches Machos is wrong about the Kol Tumah She'enazma Galechal Enakoy Muzolei. He rejects it. So that's on Amud Aleph also. He's not so worried about what it says in the Maseches Machos. So that's the machlekes, the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam. Mi she'ein lo bonim at all, it does make sense to say you can get married right after Shiva, but it's also lo v'la lach shloshim. Either you say it's also to get married till after Shloshim, that's the Ri, Abin and Tam says, no, it's muta lava aleha after the shiva. But what's the whole heter? Because what motivates him to get married is not that he wants to violate the nivul. No, he wants to move on in life. The motivation of why he's doing it plays a role over here. That's important. Yeah, and on the base, yeah.
So the, according to the reading, you have to wait till after shlishim?
Yeah.
So is that only a heter for the din of not marrying a new wife within 12 months? But let's say someone lost a different relative and they wanted to get married in 12 months, he would agree that's okay?
Yeah.
The reed said when you don't have kids, you could get married within the 12 months, right?
Right.
So that's to get around the isser of marrying a new wife within 12 months. But
right.
Nothing to do with, like, Achilles.
What do you mean, nothing to do with
it? The isser for marrying a new wife is because you're going to be thinking about the new wife when you're, well, the old wife, when you're with the new wife.
That's if the wife died, then you have to wait till the shrigal. Right.
So is
unless you have a pressing consideration, then we allow you to violate that din, and we hope that you won't be dreaming about the first wife.
So the Reis Heter is really just for that problem, but not because of any availability. You hold it's completely mutter to get married in Yud Beis Chodesh if there were no other issues. Like, let's say you want to marry a second wife, and you're in Yud Beis Chodesh for your mother or something.
And he has a first wife. That you're not allowed to do. Yeah, that you're not allowed to do. That's a simcha, davashal simcha. But if the guy's not married, his wife died a long time ago, and now he's an avelus for a parent, so he wants to remarry. The Gemara says recommends a person should not stay single; he should remarry. So we would say get married after shloshim, because what motivates him to get married is he wants to move on, and a normal people have to be married. Normal people should be married.
The what's the extra heter of not having had kids yet? What does it add? If you're allowed to get married to move on with life when you're in Yom Beis Chodesh,
yeah.
According to the reading, he says you have to wait until after Shoshim. What extra thing does not having kids add to that?
Uh-huh. Maybe it is. Let's say he's married to another wife. He is married to another wife, but he knows that that woman can't have any children. So he wants to marry a second wife who will be able to have children. So Mishaynlo, Mishalo Kim Peribri, we will allow him to marry again. Yeah.
Also, we said that.
Yeah, normally Tashem Shamit is only Osir and Shiva. But here, the Bir Rishayna, after getting married, that's an extra simcha. So for that, you have to wait till after Shloshim. Yeah.
Can't you say instead that it's because there's a longer, there's a different issue here, that it's there not to think about the wife, the old wife?
Uh-huh. Could be. That could be. I mean, so we're makel that you don't have to wait till the Shigalim, but 30 days you have to wait. Uh-huh. So the nafkamina would be, that's a shadow. Let's say his wife died 2 years ago. He's an avelus for a parent, and he wants to remarry. So would we allow him to be bo leho toch shloshim? I mean, we wouldn't allow him to marry. Let's say he was married a long time ago, the wife died, never had any children, and now he wants to move on with life. That was an avelus. So he wants to marry a girl. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, we would permit him to get married. Rabbeinu Tam says we would permit him to get married right after Shiva and to be with the wife. And the Reb would say, no, you have to wait. Misha'en Labanim has to wait till after Shloshim. Has to wait till after Shloshim. You mean the first wife died a long time ago? You want to say maybe you only have to wait till after Shloshim if the wife died now. But let's say the wife died 2 years ago.
Okay.
He was a young guy, got married, and the wife died. And now 2 years later, he meets another girl. He wants to get married. So would we permit him, according to the... Again, the Re permits him to get married after Shiva. That's only by, you know, the Rebbe permit him to get married after Shiva and to be Baal Leha the Rabbeinu Tam permits him to be Bo'aleh right away. And the Reb would say he's not allowed to get married till after Shloshim. So that's because of Avelos, or that's because the wife died? I thought that's because of Avelos. So where you want to say it should be Mutter? Let's say the wife died a long time ago. A guy was 21, he got married, the wife died. And then 2 years later, after Shalva Shagav, 2 years later, he meets another girl, he wants to get married. Then a parent dies. But he wants to set a wedding date. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, he's allowed to get married after Shiva and be with the wife. And according to the Reb, we would only allow him to get married after Shloshim, because getting married is an Iser Avelos. The Shloshim is because of Avelos. No, the Shloshim is not because of Mesa Ishtoi. I think so. I think the Reb means that you have to wait till after Shloshim. You want to suggest waiting the Shloshim is only because of Mesa Ishtoi? I don't think so.
You should wait Shloshim regardless.
Yes, yeah, so he wants to say if you came by Rabbi, so make a land shalosh regom, but you still have to have shloshim yom. I don't think so. We should look in Shulchan Aruch. I don't think so. I think the waiting 30 days is because of the avelus, not because of the dreaming about the first wife. We got to look that up in halacha. Yeah, here at Amud Beis, this is all negel adina. This we Rabbi Natan. That's negel adina. Yeah, what else does Tosfos say? Tosfos quotes the pasuk from Koheles, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter Yud Aleph. What does it say? Afilu yesh lo banim. What if he has children, but he wants to raise a bigger family? So Tosfos quotes, that's the Gemara Yevamos. That's the famous Agadah about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had thousands and thousands of students, and they all died in between Pesach and Shavuos. And then he started teaching Torah all over again. He was an old man and started teaching Torah all over again. He had 5 Talmidim, and they were the ones who transmitted, Rabbi Akiva transmitted the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. And those 5 Talmidim that he had afterwards, after all the original Talmidim died, those were the ones who transmitted the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's what Rabbi Akiva said, that a Rebbe who teaches in yeshiva shouldn't retire unless he's unable to give a shiur. Why? He already had Talmidim. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of the Lamed. There's a mitzvah Lilma, there's a mitzvah of the Lamed. Shon Yotzik ben Lamed. So he says, no. Hoyolo Talmidim Bitziruso. He should have Talmidim Biziknusa, because the Pasuk says, Babukez Rasarecha, Lerev Hatanach Yadecha. The simple pshat in the Pasuk is, it goes on a farmer, that the farmer should plant in the morning, he should plant in the afternoon, because you don't know which will grow better. Maybe the first stuff you planted will grow, maybe the stuff you plant. In the afternoon you should also plant. So the Poshim Shad goes on a farm. So the Gemara says it goes on Rebbe's teaching Torah to Talmidim. You'll never know which Talmidim will be successful. Look at Rebbe Akiva. All the thousands of Talmidim that had originally, they all died in a Magefa. And then the 5 Talmidim that he had after the Magefa, those were the ones that transmitted Torah. And then the Gemara says the same idea in the Pasuk. It goes on having children. Even if you already fulfilled Piri Rivi when you first got married, when you were young, you should try to have more children later. Ki, how does the Pasuk finish off today? You'll never know. Eze Yikasha Hazeh Ozeh. You never know which children will be the good children. You don't know which children will be the better children. The first ones are the later ones. So that's called L'Erev HaTanach Yedecha. What's the getter of L'Erev HaTanach Yedecha? So in Ebenezer, the Beishmuel on the side in Simen Aleph, they talk about Piri Rivi, talk about L'Erev HaTanach Yedecha. So the Ramah says, what if the man is man has children from his first wife, and the first wife dies, or he gets divorced, whatever, and now he's thinking, should he marry a younger woman in order to have more children, or should he marry an older woman and he won't be able to have any more children? So he should try to have more children. What if he's concerned that it's going to cause friction in the family? It's going to be machlokes. Or let's say he's married to his wife, He's very happy. He'd like to have 20 children. The wife says, ready to drop dead. He already has 15 children. How much he wanted to have? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, if the wife says it's too much, you're afraid there's going to be friction in the family, whatever, so then you don't go for L'Erev HaTanach Yedecha. So the Bishmul discusses on the side, why? isn't it a mitzvah medivri kabbalah? So don't you have to strain yourself a little bit to observe the mitzvah medivri kabbalah? So the Bishmol quotes from the Ramban and the Mohammeds and that Gemara in Yibamis. Where is it in Yibamis? Daf some of days. Where they quote Rabbi Akiva's students died. That's where the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Kohelis, Perek Yud Aleph. And Yibamis Samach Beis, I think. So the Ramban writes on that Gemara and the Mohammeds, it's not even a chiyuv medivrei kabbalah. It's a recommended midas chasidus to have more than the basic number of children. You fulfilled Pirei Rebbe, you've been having a son and a daughter, and this is considered a midas chasidus. But if it's a little too difficult, so then you're not mechuyev to strain yourself. It's not even a chiyuv medivrei kabbalah. It's a recommended midas chasidus. Okay. As it says, let's say the person already yesh lo banim, not ein lo banim. Yesh lo banim, but he wants to have more banim. They said that's also a heter, because l'erev atanach yadecho, what motivates him to get married and have more children is not because he wants to have fun in life. That's it. He wants to live it up. He wants to have a bigger family, l'erev atanach yadecho. So then also you would have that heter. That's the shaila. What about the Gemara recommends, even if a person's wife died, he should remarry. Let's say the person already fulfilled peer review. Let's say he only has daughters and never fulfilled Pirei Rivya, but he's already in his 80s. What, he's going to marry a young girl in her 40s? That's not reasonable. So he's going to marry an older woman who's not going to be able to have children. So he's not remarrying in order to have Lera Vatana Chedecha. He's remarrying because the Gemara says, L'otav ha'yos ha'adam levadai, a person shouldn't be alone, even if he already did fulfill Pirei Rivya, or even if he didn't, but by getting married he's not going to fulfill it, a person shouldn't be alone and should remarry. So the shaila is, what about the din you have to wait sholosh regolim? Mar says you have to wait sholosh regolim. So when does that apply? What happened to the din? You have to, a person shouldn't be single. So the minig ha'olam, the minig in Europe used to be that people often would not wait yud beis chodesh. They wouldn't wait sholosh regolim to remarry. So the shuva in the sefer Galya Masechta. Gali Masechta is by who is Gali Masechta? David. The Gemara says in Erevin that David Hamelach. There are two psukim. One pasuk says, "Vayi David al chol the rachav maskal v'Hashem imoy." The pasuk says, "Vayi shol b'chol the rachav mashiach." Shol was not matzliach and David was matzliach. What does it mean? So the Gemara in Erevin says that they each gave shiurim. David was very matzliach. Vayi al chol the rachav maskal. He was very matzliach in giving shiur. Hashem imoy. We always used to paskin correctly. He was not matzliach in giving shiur. So the Gemara says, how come? So the Gemara says, because David was galya masechta, and Shaul was lo galya masechta. What does that mean? David was galya masechta. What does that mean? That's a question. What does it mean? So I think the Meiri there has a discussion. I think the Meiri says that David HaMelech gave marmakomis in advance, so the students could prepare. So they prepared, and then they came to the shir. So then they followed the shir better. And Shaul didn't give marmakomis in advance. So that's why when he gave the shir, the talmidim weren't prepared for it. So they weren't able to absorb everything. That's what some of Forshim say. Others say Gaim Masechta means that he discussed the inyanim better, at more at length, with more detail. We should all do both. Those who know what they're going to say in advance should give marmakamis in advance. Okay, maskim. Rav Soloveitchik always used to give marmakamis in advance. He used to tell the week before. He used to give a shiur Tuesday and Wednesday. So on Wednesday afternoon, he would say, for next week, prepare this, that, and the other thing. Then he would come in and talk about other things. He would always talk about other things. How can you know exactly in advance what? So whatever it is. So the Gemara says that David was galya masechta. So there was a Rav Navardik, who was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Baloshina. That was a long time ago, the early 1800s. His name was David, Rav David al Navardike. They had no last names then. So he wrote a sefer that's called Galya Masechta. Galya Masechta. He thought that his shiurim were out of this world. He felt that his tshuvas were gevaldik. He has in one of his tshuvas, he writes, he talks about a Ashver Rambam, and he says, no one ever understood pshat, and the Rambam, the first one who gives them, is a pshat, but I go to Elam Ha'emes, the Rambam is going to come and give me a yashikoyach that I said them is a pshat in the Rambam. So anyway, so in the Galya Masechta, he has a tshuva where his miyashiv, the minig ha'olam, that the minig was in Eastern Europe, the minig was that the people didn't wait sholosh regalim to remarry. So he suggests maybe because maybe the Gemara only goes. Shverabah, he says, the Gemara says you have to wait Shalosh Golim. That's if he had two wives and one of them died. So he wants to marry a second wife. He's not alone. He's not Leitav Heosav Labana. He has one wife. So he shouldn't marry another wife because he'll be dreaming about the first wife. Why should he dream about the first wife? He'll be dreaming about his other wife. I don't know. That's what he suggests. But this man is there. We have a Chemder Abbein Gershom. So there is no second wife. So he was married to one wife and then she died. So that's, he wants to marry another wife, not to be alone. So that would permit him in the middle of Shalosh Golim. Just like Loki and Pir Berivya or Yesh Labanim Ketanim, we would be Mekel on the Shalosh Golim. So if he's not married at all, we would also be Mekel. That's the minig olam is lahakam. Or let's say the wife was very sick. The first wife, let's say the person, by Ashkenazim, we don't have two wives. The wife was very sick. And he wasn't with her for a long time before she died. Then she died. What do you mean he's going to marry the other wife? He's going to be dreaming about the first wife. When he sleeps with the second wife, hasn't been with the first wife in the years. She was sick for a couple of years. She died from cancer. She was sick for the longest time. So then the poskim make also on the Shalosh Golim. So often that is the case. Anyway, the guy Masecht is Mekel Bechlam on the Shalosh Golim. He says that Bizman Azeh, that with that Ashkenazim only marry one wife, so we would be Mekel after the Shloshim, we should remarry.
If someone didn't fulfill Peru or Buya, but they still feel that it'll cause problems in the house, some more kids, what's the din in that case?
He's supposed to fulfill Peru Berivya. Yeah. You can never tell. Let's say he only had daughters. The second wife also, he may only have daughters. How does he know? But you're mechuyev to try.
Maybe that's not like more than Chomesh to... If it's
going
to cause friction in the family,
it's not like Chomesh. Could be it is. I don't know. It depends how much friction. A lot of friction, a little friction. I don't know. I mean, he has one wife. And that wife somehow can only have girls. She's only she's allergic to boys. He only has girls. Then he wants to marry another wife who's going to have boys. So it's going to cause friction. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe it's more than Chomesh.
Or he feels he can't raise the kid properly anymore. He's already 60. He's going to die.
That is a consideration, because the mitzvah peri rivya is not just to give birth to populate the world. That koydim matan tarah, the mitzvah was peruvu meilas haaretz v'chivshua, to populate the world, and the mitzvah applied to the bnei noach also. Koydim matan tarah, the mitzvah was given to Adam and Rishon and to Noach, peruvu meilas haaretz v'chivshua. That was given to Adam and Noach. After matan tarah, the mitzvah only applies to bnei Yisrael; it no longer applies to the umas olam. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The nature of the mitzvah changed. And the Pashto says that the nature of the mitzvah changed, so you're only in fulfillment of Pirei Berivya if you have Jewish children and you raise them with a Jewish traditions. You transmit Yiddishkeit to the children. Let's say after Matan Torah, a Jew will live with a non-Jewish woman and have children. So they go, so he's not yet in the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya. Or he'll give birth to Jewish children, but he won't give them a Jewish chinuch. So that's also, you haven't fulfilled Pirei Berivya. Rivia is to raise religious children. To raise religious children. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Brochas. The Gemara says, Chizkiyahu HaMelech took sick. So Yeshaya Navi came to be Mevakeh Chole. So he said, I hope you know you're going to die. He comes to be Mevakeh Chole. He said, I hope you realize you're going to die because you never got married. So you deserve to die. That's what he tells him when he comes to be Mevakeh Chole. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech tells Yeshaya Navi, the reason why I didn't get married is because I saw Beruach HaKodesh that my children will be Yovdi Avodah Zarah. So I won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah anyway if I have children of the Avodah Zarah. You're only out to the mitzvah if they're religious children. So the Gemara quotes, Yishaya Navi told Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you're not allowed to make such cheshbonos, my demifkedis, what you have to do, you have to do, and don't clear so much. So the Mefarshim and the Gemara, you look in the Anyankev, so the Mefarshim and the Gemara have three different interpretation. So some Mefarshim learn it's irrelevant whether the children will be up there by the Zohar or not. You have to fulfill Pirei Rivya even if they will be up there by the Zohar. And the other two Pshotim are assuming that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is right. But they say you have no right to Paskan Halacha based on Ruach HaKodesh. That's a question, is that correct or not? You have no right to Paskan Halacha based on Ruach HaKodesh. And the other pshat is that your Ruach HaKodesh is incorrect. You're going to have a son, Menashe, who's going to be Obed Obed Azar, but at the end, he will do tshuva. So you don't have the whole story. But according to the second, the third pshat, what if, let's say, a guy lives under the communists, and he knows it's impossible to give his children a Jewish chinuch? He'll have children, they'll be communists, they'll be atheists. There's no way in the world that he'll be able to be a mechanech then. B'derech HaTeva, there's no way in the world. You don't need Ruach HaKodesh to know that. B'derech HaTeva, it looks that there's no way that he'll be able to be mechanech them. So then, according to the second and the third pshatim, there's no mitzvah of peer review. If you know in advance that you won't be able to transmit Jewish values to the children.
How can you know that the mitzvah of communism is going to be around for...
Yeah, long. Communism collapsed. Okay. That's a point. That's a good point. But if it looks b'derech HaTeva that the communism is going to continue, so it could be that that one would be put. He said, maybe you should still try. Maybe you have to try. The old mitzvah of Rebbe, you never know if you're going to have children. The old mitzvah is to try. So maybe you have to try.
If he has children, he gets divorced and doesn't raise them, but his wife raises them religiously from them, is he the kind of guru?
Yeah, at least he brought them into the world, and they were raised. He married the right girl, so they'll be raised as observant children. Yeah, but that's the pashtus in the Gemara, that after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Kodem Matan, the mitzvah was to populate the world, so the goyim also. There was only Adam Arishon was there, so there was nobody there. So there was a mitzvah to populate the world, and by the time Maimon Hasina, Baruch Shalom decided, the world is sufficiently populated. Now we have to see to it that the Jewish tradition should be transmitted. So the nature of the mitzvah changed. The derivative is to transmit Jewish values. Yeah.
Is it solely based on the Totel, like that the kids are religious their whole lives, or let's say the father transmits Yiddishkeit and they're from, and then when they're 25, they decide, you know what, I don't want to be religious. That's the same thing, or it's...
Means the mechuyev to have more children after that, if he can.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, let's say a person has children and they are unable to have children. The children are Soros Island or something. So the Gemara says, you're not Yotze. But let's say he had children and then they die before they themselves have children. So the Gemara says, you're not Yotze. Sounds like you have to see to it to the best of your ability that you're going to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. So that's an important topic. Tosis quoted, they quoted the Pasuk in Koheles, that's the Gemara in Yevamos. By Rabbi Akiva on Daf Samar Beis. Yeah. What's on Omid Beis? The Gemara has a din. The Gemara has a din. If a couple is married and either the husband or the wife is in Avelus, so the spouse is obligated to observe Avelus in the presence of the spouse. Ba'apo, in the presence of your wife, Nehog Avelusa. Who told it? Kidomale Rav, Lechia Birei. Rav. The Gemara says, Rab was a nephew of Rab Chia. Rab was a nephew of Rab Chia. The Gemara says he was a double nephew. Rab had a father and a mother, so Rab's father was a half-brother of Rab Chia. Rab's mother was a half-sister of Rab Chia. And they were not related to each other. The father and mother were the half-sister's half-brother. So they were not related, but Rab Chia was his uncle. And Rab learned by Rab went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rab Yudan Nasi. And then Rabbi Chiya asked them, whether my brother's still alive, whether my sister's still alive, both parents had already died. And then when Rab himself got married, apparently he named one of his children after his uncle Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was one of his rabbeim. He learned by Rabbi Yudan Nasi, and Rabbi Chiya was a star student of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. He taught him also. Apparently he named one of his sons after Rabbi Chiya. So when the son lost his wife, Chiya Berei, the son of Rav, lost his wife, he said, Ba'apo, in the presence of the wife, Nohogabi Lusa, Dolabiapo, if the wife is not there, Latinagabi Lusa. So this is a din, these are long arichas in the Gemara Moed Kotten, it tells you on the side. Gamze Sham, there in Moed Kotten, Avchof on the base. So the Gemara says, different opinions in Tanoim, we paskin that it's only if the spouse is observing Avelus for a parent. Spouse observing Avelus for a sibling or a child from a previous marriage, it doesn't apply. If the spouse is observing Avelus for a parent, then the spouse, the husband or the wife, should observe Avelus also if they're in the same house. Papa Nehog Avelus. So what kind of a din is that? You only have to observe Avelus by Apo. Shall be Apo not? So what does Rashi explain? Where's the Rashi? Mishum Kvoda, Rashi writes, lo, imo babayis. See the Rashi. It's about six, 7 lines from the bottom of the Rashi's. Ela b'fana mishum kvodo. V'lechvodo. Rashi writes, l'chvodo, to show kavod to the spouse. The husband has to observe avelus when his wife is observing avelus for a parent, and she has to observe avelus when the husband observes avelus l'chvod, l'chvodo. So that's what in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes it, b'zman hazeh, one who will observe avelus when the spouse is in observance of avelus, ena min hamasmim. Why? Because b'zman hazeh the meaning is that all the avelim are moichel on the kovet. The whole thing is only lichvodo. So b'zman hazeh everybody's moichel on the kovet, so you don't observe. So then the Ramah writes that there is some communities have a minig. Here in Broyers they have such a minig, but the rest of the world nobody has that. So the Ramah quotes that up until Shabbos, let's say there's a funeral in the middle of the week, so up until Shabbos, let's say a parent is observing avelus for a brother, a sister, or a parent. So the children of the parent, out of respect for the parents, up until Shabbos, will not go to a wedding. Or they won't go to the movies. That's in Gansen. That's in Gansen, not what it says in the Gemara. There was one opinion, kol she misablim olav misablim imoy. Since if my father would die, I would have to observe avelus, as my father sitting shiv, his brother, kol she misablim olav misablim imoy. So I have to observe avelus with my father, ima babayis, if I'm in the same house. So that opinion has been rejected. We don't paskan like that. That's tanoim held. Kol shem misablim olav, misablim ima mishum kvoda. We paskan only olav balima mishum kvoda. Only if a parent dies, not if a spouse dies, not if a child dies. And we say that b'zman hazeh the world moichel on the kovet. So this was a minig that developed in some places in Europe. The most places they don't have that, but some have that. Some observe that the minig of the Ramah, that up until the Shabbos of the Shiva, so the relatives won't go to a wedding. It's in Gansen not what it says in the Gemara. It's not ima babayis. Well, let's say the parent is sitting Shiva in Yerushalayim, so the children won't go to a wedding here in New York. What do you mean? It's legamei not ima. Legamei not in the same location at all. That's a shaila of a minig. Yeah.
I watched what you said before, where the Gemara says that you weren't knowing the kulach, the veil. So can you say even for the Baal, it's because you were machnes the mace of Cheder?
There, the Gemara says that's the kulach. The Gemara says that the kulach is not we allow them to be Bal bilas mitzvah, that's a kula in aninus, that's not a kula in avelus, but rather the kula is, Ela, the Gemara says, because we allow them to have, Ela diktani noeg shivis me'amish, v'hakach noeg shivis me'avelus, that's the kula. Yeah. The Gemara says, we're looking for a kula in hilchas avelus. You're saying a kula in hilchas kvura, that we weren't mekab in the mace, we're machnes in the mace l'cheder.
Maybe it's not the kula, because
the mace is
not
mutal,
like the
plumber.
Maybe it's not such a
kula
that they have that
bi'ar rishona. Why not? According to Tosfos, all the isurei avelus begin right away. Different country. The mace is in Eretz Yisrael. Even the mace is in a different country. Yeah.
So what's the idea of the mace?
Little less bizarre in a mace. Guy, the dead body's right over here. We're going to have a chasana. So that's not kavod ha'meis. Loig l'rosh. That's loig l'rosh. The Gemara says there in the first, the Gemara, the Misha Meso. So the Gemara has a din that applies. Misha Meso muta lefanov. He's not allowed to eat in the same house. He has to eat in a different house. And if he has no other house to eat in, he has no other room, let's eat in a different room. Years ago, the whole house was one room. The whole house consisted of one room. So he should eat in a different house or in a different room. Ein labai sacher, if there's no other room to eat in, so the Gemara osa la mechitza, osa tfochem. You have to make a mechitza, so you shouldn't be eating, because that's a violation of loig l'rosh. The dead man can't eat. Sometimes someone is deathly sick in the hospital, and he's about to die for days, and the relatives are sitting there and they're eating. They order meals and they're sitting and eating in the bedroom with the guy. It could be that that's also loig l'rosh. Loig l'rosh is only if he's dead. If he's sick in bed and he can't eat, he's on his deathbed. He's not able to eat. So it could be it's also loig l'rosh chayav hazeh. When they want to eat, they should take the meals and eat it in a different room. In the Bikur Cholim room. Maybe they shouldn't eat in the same room where the patient is. Yeah, that's a din of loig l'rosh. To leave the mace there, to have the chuppah right there, that's a kal v'chaimer. If you're not allowed to eat in front of the mace, kal v'chaimer, you're not allowed to have the chuppah. So you have to be machnas on mace l'cheder. No, tzitzis, but in front of the mesim is because the mesim are potter from tzitzis. So that's a loig l'rosh. But the guy who's sick, right now he happens to be sick, is not able to fulfill the mitzvah. I don't know. Could be also. I don't know. Interesting shayla. Yeah. We had the Taisus on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. Quoted the Maseches Smachos called Shtuma Sheinanoz Megaleh Aleha and Akoy Muzer Aleha. So how do we pass? And the Rabbin and Tam says Meshabesh Tehi, it's wrong, and he disproves the Goyinim from Dam that Anozer is only Megaleh and Chatzi Lug Dam two Reviyasin, but the Goyinim's Muzer on one Reviyas. So the other Balei HaTaisa said no, but it's still Tumas Dam, it's still the same Tuma. But if you have a different Tuma that's not Atzma Shal Meis at all, so then the Kohen is not Muzer Alecho at all. So L'chapa Nafkemina, Tosfos says, one of the Nafkeminas, Ladina, is the Kohen prohibited to come in contact with a girl of a Doifik? So according to Rabbi Natam, it's Osir. So if Rashi, that was Rabbi Natam's Kasha and Rashi, if Rashi says that the girl of a Doifik is the coffin, the lid is the girl, and the Doifik are the walls of the coffin, because the Tumas Lameis doesn't go up, and only with the Rabbanon for the Miut Aroinus, where you don't have a Pesach Tefach. So it's only the Rabbanon. So therefore, Kavod Abrius is Matir. Medalgam Hayino Gabi Aroinus Likras Malchi Umasoylam. Kavod Abrius to make a big crowd when the king passes by. So the Rabbein Tamias Kasha, but it's a Din Deraisa. Girl of Bedoifik is Matami in a term, so the Kohen is at Sanisa Deraisa, he's not allowed to go. The girl of Bedoifik is Matami Ba'ohel, not Matami Bimasa, but it's Matami Ba'ohel. So the Balei HaTaisus answered, no, Rashi holds that a Kohen is not Muzer on Tumas Girl of Bedoifik, because the Mishnah says in Nazir that the Nazir is not Megaleach al Girl of Bedoifik. Rabbi Natam holds that it is also. So the Avnei Nezer has the following Shaila. They put him at Seva, someone died, and they put him at Seva. Then the children decided, 5 years later, they have a lot of money. They decided they're going to make a fancier matzeva. So they took off the old matzeva, they put on a more elaborate matzeva. And then what they do with the old matzeva? So they brought it back to the matzeva store. So what's the din? What's the din of the girl of the doifek, which was removed from the mace? What's the din of the girl of the doifek that was once mishamish mace? According to Rabbi Natam, the girl of the doifek is the matzeva. And according to Rashi, the girl of the doifek is the coffin. So what's the din? It used to be in the coffin. Let's say when they take an Aron to Eretz Yisrael, it's an Eretz Yisrael they bury without an Aron. So when they bring the Aron to the cemetery, so they take the mace out of the Aron, and they leave the box over there on the side. So what's the din of that Goyle of Adolfi? According to Rashi, that's the Goyle of Adolfi. It used to be Mishamish the mace, and now it's no longer. According to Rabbi Natam, the Goyle of Adolfi is the Matzeva, and it used to be on top of the mace, and now they made a fancier Matzeva, and they brought this one back to the store. So there's a funny Rashi in Erevin, and after Zvavim and Aleph. Nobody understands what motivated Rashi to say it. This is quoted from the Gemara in Erevin. That was one of the, and Dalet Amud Beis, that was one of the kashas that Tosfos asked on Rashi. That's what, what's his name? MK. What's his name? JK. That's what he asked yesterday. Tosfos kasha. That Tosfos said, the Gemara has a machlekes hatanim, the girl of Adolfik is metameh. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanim. What kind of material is Golav Dafik made from? Any material. Plastic, wood, metal, stone, whatever it happens to be. So the Gemara says, what if you used a live animal as a Golav Dafik? Would that have the tumas Golav Dafik? So that's a machlokes satanim. So Taisus says, Bishleim, according to Rabbi Natam, that the girl of Adafik means a matzeva. So we understand why they're going to use a live animal as a matzeva. They buried the mace and they didn't prepare a matzeva. The guy just died, they didn't prepare a matzeva. So they're going to bang a peg into the ground on top of the kever. They're going to tie a cow, they're going to tie a live animal to the peg. It should serve temporarily as the matzeva. We'll know where the person is buried. So next month we'll come, tomorrow, 2 days from now, we'll come with a matzeva. We'll take the behemoth away and we'll put the matzeva there. So you can understand there's a machlokes ha'tanaim, whether the live animal that's serving as a temporary matzeva, does it have the tumas gal of adafik? According to Rashi, that the gal of adafik means the lid of the coffin. So which meshugan is going to use a live animal as a lid of a coffin? What, are you going to bury a live animal in the ground? What, are you crazy?
Where's the Rashi in
Erevin? The Rashi in Erevin, so that's the Gemara in Erevin that test goes. The Rashi is in, I think it's, Tezvav Amud Aleph. When the Mishnah speaks, Mishnah has this machleika satanaim. Bakol osim lechi afilu b'dov sheyesh b'rachayim. Rav Meir Oyser, Meir says, a lechi from a live animal is not acceptable. Metame mishum girl of a daifek. Rav Meir mitar. Rav Meir says, no, that a live animal doesn't have tumas girl of a daifek. Girl of a daifek, we say, metame b'maga uba'ohel, not metame b'masa. So what if you use the live animal? So that's a Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Erev, and Tezvav and Aleph, whether the live animal that's serving is Gola V'Doifik, does it have Tumas Ohel or not? Does it have any Tumas? So Rashi writes there, no one knows what motivated Rashi to write it. Rashi writes, Afila Nital Mishon. If you used something as the lid of the coffin, Rashi writes, Imaso Gola L'Kever, V'Tami L'Olam, B'Oyalam, Kemes Atzmo, Afila nital misham, even if it was removed from there. What motivated Rashi to say it's matami, even if it's removed? So there on Erevin, there's a Tosis Rid. We have Tosis Rid on quite a few Masechtas. Tosis Rid quotes Rashi and he says, against Halacha, that there's a Beferish Sifrei on Parshas Chukas, where it says, Hal Panei Hasada, the Rabbi's Goyle B'Doifek. That's what Tosis quoted from Chulin. Where is it? Chulin Daf. I am based on the base of Behemam Kasha, Al Pnei Asad Al Rab's Girl of a Daifik. So the Sifrei continues to say that it's only Kolzman, it's on top of the mace. Once it's removed, there's no Tumas Girl of a Daifik. So why does Rashi say, what motivated Rashi to say it? What does it say there in the Mishnah that led Rashi to say it? And how can Rashi say against the Sifrei? That's what they ask. So they asked Avnei Nezer, what's the din? The Rabbi Natam holds that Girl of a Daifik means the Matzeva. Yeah, just before you get to this, Abinazer, yeah. So Taisa asked the Kasha and Rashi, according to Rashi, that the girl was the lid of the coffin, so which Meshugan is going to use a live animal to serve as a lid of a coffin? What, are they going to bury a live animal in the ground? That's ridiculous. So Taisa says, no, that's not necessarily a Kasha. The style of the Talmud Bavli is, they discuss cases that'll never happen in a million years, just to be Mevar, the abstract halacha. You take a far-fetched case, as we have a Gemara. Where's the Gemara? In Bchairis? What is Tosis called? In Chulin. Gemara talks in Chulin, or Gemara in Bchairis. One cow is pregnant, and you take the fetus from one cow, and you put it into the womb of another cow. So Tosis says, never going to happen in a million years. Now they do it every day. Never going to happen in a million years, Tosis says. But the Gemara talks about abstract cases just to be Mavar what the din is. Remember a couple of years ago we had some professor from MIT was here. He was trying to recruit some geniuses to help him do research in genetic engineering. So he was telling us that his first love was law. I think he first went to law school. And then after that he said he worked on physics and he invented the Kindle. He has 100 different things that he has a patent on. A genius. And then after he was Yotze, all he could do in physics, now he's in biology and he's in genetic engineering. He wants to use genes from a carrot, from a cow to put into carrots, or genes from a carrot to put into cows, to mix vegetables and animals and all kinds of cockeyed things. So he said that when he was, and then he became a Chayzer B'Tshuva in the middle, and now he learns Daf Yomi every day. He lives in Boston, I forgot his name.
Remember Joe Jacobson.
Jacobson. So he said when he studied law, so he came to the realization that you can draw up a contract, that's the lashon, you can draw up a contract that's not covered by any law, that there's no law. And then when he started to study Gemara, he came to the realization that there's no case in the world that's not covered by a halacha. The Gemara has what to say on every single case. There's no such thing as a case that's not covered by halacha. So that's what Tesis, I showed him this Tesis. Tesis said, the Gemara will talk about, he said he was working that the day before, the day that he came here, the Daf Yomi was learning Chulin. So the day before, the Mishnah in Chulin spoke about a vegetable, a human being who grows from the ground. So the Rambam writes, and don't think that it's, they all write that this is a fantasy of the Romans, I think. The Romans thought there's such a thing, so the Tanaim wrote, but it doesn't really exist. Such a thing doesn't exist. So he said, the Rambam writes, and don't think that it doesn't exist. It really exists. He read about it in the book somewhere. So this professor, he said, this Professor Jacobson said, it doesn't exist yet. I'm working on it. He's mixing the genes from the vegetables and the behemoths and back and forth. He says it may yet happen. He says he came to the realization that in Gemara, in Halacha, there's no such thing as a case that's not covered at all by the Halacha. It's interesting. Many years ago, there was Mohammed Yom HaKippurim. So a year after Mohammed Yom HaKippurim, the Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim was Rabbi Schlesinger was still the Rosh Yeshiva. So he invited all the boys from the Hesdi Yeshivas who were in the Mulchama that they should come together, Chalamayt Sukkis, and they should write down all the Shailas that they had during the Mulchama. So they had all kinds of Shailas. Can you be Mitzarif and Minyan, five people on one side of the Suez Canal, five people on the other side of the Suez Canal? Can you blow shofar in a tunnel? Can you blow shofar in a water tower? Whatever. Had all cockeyed Shailas. And he said they were going to work on all the Shailas together. He said 85% of the Shailas were Mefurish in the Mishnah Brura. Except that we don't read every Mishnah Brura. Never it's a case that we think it's never going to happen, so we skip that Mishnah Brura. But he said, if you look carefully, every single wild case that you thought will never come up in a million years, it comes up. And the Mishnah Brura quotes what 85% of the Shailas are there. Yeah, all the Shailas are there. So again, so the Avnei Nezer has the following discussion. They had a Matzeva, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Matzeva is the Goel of Adofa. So they had a Matzeva, and then a few years later, the children decided that's not nice enough, so they put a different Matzeva. They took the old Matzeva, and they put it in the Matzeva store to show customers the style of matzevas that they sell. So the shaila was that Rabbeinu Tam holds that a kohen is muzer even on a tumah she'ena nazar megalei chaleva, and the Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion. So we don't pass him like that, Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch we pass him mikra din that on cherev hareka chalol is muta for the kohen to be mitame, because we do follow that masech esmoch. It's called tumah she'ena nazar megalei chaleva and a kohen muzer leh. But someone wants to be machmer like the Rabbeinu Tam. And he wants to be machmer also like the Rabbeinu Tam, the girl of a doifik is a matzeva. Then he wants to be machmer like the Rashi in Erevin, Daf Tezvav, even though the Tosfos Rit said it's against the Sifrei. He wants to be machmer like the Rashi, that even if you removed it from the mace, it's no longer serving, it's no longer functioning as a girl of a doifik. You want to be machmer on that too, that it still has the din of Tumas girl of a doifik. So he wants to know, a Koyin lost a relative and he wants to go to the matzeva shop to see what kind of matzevas they sell. He wants to decide which matzevah to use to purchase for his departed relative. So he has the shaila. He's allowed to go into the matzevah store. He said, there's a matzevah there that used to be mishamish on a mace that was removed. So the Avnei Nezer makes fun of the shaila. He says, En roi lono legabev chumras al gabi chumras. You're piling up. Mikra din, we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. Mikra din, we don't hold like that Rashi, because the Rashi is against the Sifrei. And then you're going to be machmer also that the Rabbeinu Tam says that the matzeva. I don't know why is that a chumrah. I thought that we do hold that the girl of a doifik means the matzeva. I thought that was the din. I don't know. He says that all three are chumras. It doesn't make sense to pile up so many chumras on top of each other. Let's say what's taketed in the old matzeva that they removed from the cemetery. So can you? Are you allowed to put on plaster and write a different name on top of it to put it on someone else's? When another person dies, can you take the old matzeva that was used for this mace and use it for a different mace who's buried in a different location. The din is that the mace is also ba'anoa. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. It says, "Atama shamir matikava sham." The word sham appears, and the Gemara says, "You have sham sham egla rufa." It says, "We offer sham as egla banachal." The Gemara says, "Exerish sham sham egla rufa." Just like egla rufa is also ba'anoa, so to the mace is also ba'anoa. How do you know egla rufa is also ba'anoa? So the Gemara says, because the egla rufa it says kapar ksiba kikachim. It says the Kohanim say kapal am chesa shepadisa Hashem. So just like Karponis, Arasa Banoa, Kaporek Siboki Kochim, Sadegla Rufa, it's also Asabano. So we assume that a mace is Asabano. Mishlam Melech writes in one place, El Chosovo, he's not so convinced that this Xerishab is a real Drosha Gemura, maybe it's just an Asmachta. He quotes that Tesis assumes that it is a Drosha Gemura, that a mace Asabano has been Atar, but he says he's not so convinced that Tesis is right. Maybe it's only an Asmachta. So then the Gemara in Sanhedrin has not only is the mace Asabano, Meshamshe Ameis are also Asabano. So the Tachrichim are also Asabano. So how far do you go with Meshamshe Ameis? What about the Matseva? Matseva is also called Meshamshe Ameis. What about the wall around the cemetery? The wall around the cemetery is also called Meshamshe Ameis. How far do you go? Meshamshe Ameis, the wall around the cemetery is to protect that hooligans shouldn't come in and defile the cemetery. So how much is called Meshamshe Ameis? So that's a question. On the assumption that Meis Asamano is their Isa, whether Meshamshe Ameis are also Asaman HaTorah or not, and then it's the question how far do you go? So let's say, for argument's sake, let's say whether Men HaTorah, Men HaRabbanon, Meshamshe Ameis are Asamano. So let's say we'll assume that the Matseva is Meshamshe Ameis. It's Meshamshe Ameis, it's just covered to the Meis. The wall around the cemetery that's further removed, the wall around is a Pischi Tshuva and Hilchas Avelus. Maybe the wall is too far removed. But the Matseva and Mistaba that it is Meshamshe Ameis. Even though they don't put it, the Tachrichim they put right away. And the Oren they put right away when they bury him. And the Matseva we put later. You don't put right away a Matseva. In the days of Tesis says, in the days of the Gemara, they put the Matseva the same day. That's why Achi Yistam Agoylo, the Gemar HaKvura, when they put the Matseva. As man as that, we don't put. So let's assume the Matseva is Asabano. Let's assume it is Meshamshe Ameis. So Asabano. So is that a violation? If I'll take it and make a chair out of it, I'll take it and pave the floor with it, so that's Asabano, I'm getting Hano. What if I use it for a different mace? So let's say we put on Tachrichim on the mace, and then I change my mind later on and decide I want to buy more expensive Tachrichim, something more becovetic, silk. They put on cheap tachrichim for $1, I decide I want to spend. Usually the children feel guilty that they didn't fulfill kibbutz while the father was alive. Usually they feel guilty, so they spend a lot of money on the kvura. The money's going to go buried in the ground. How does that help as a kapor? That's what people do. So they feel guilty all their lives. They were mezalzel and kibbutz, so they yoyte now. So they spend money. So let's say they put on first one set of tachrichim, and then they change their mind later on, they want to put fancier tachrichim. So you're not allowed to use those tachrichim for yourself. So on Pesach night, you can't use that kittel. You wrap them in a kittel, and then I buy a silken kittel, whatever. I buy a very expensive kittel. So I'm not allowed to use that kittel for myself on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever. Pesach, I can't use it. Can I use it to bury a different mace? So Shulchan Aruch says no. Shulchan Aruch says, "Osa b'hano" means you're not allowed to be mevatelich b'mitzvasa. If this kittel, if this Meshamshe Ameis was designated for this mace, we're going to use it for a different mace. That's a violation of the mitzvasa. It's not so much osa b'hano. Osa b'hano because if I'm going to use it, I'm mevatelich b'mitzvasa. It's supposed to be miyuchad davke to be meshamish the mace. So if I take, that's the shaila, if I take a matseva from one mace, I'm going to use it for a different mace, that could be that that's a violation of Meshamshe Ameis, or Rosh Hashanah, to divert it, to use it for a different mace. Let's say you have a tefillin zekel, then you buy a new pair of tefillin. So you say the tefillin zekel miyuchad for that pair of tefillin. You can't use it for another pair of tefillin. So if you had a tefillin zekel for tefillin derashi, then you buy a fancier one, they want to use a tefillin zekel for tefillin derabbein tam. It's something that you're not allowed to do. Because we hold Mikra Din tefillin derashi is correct. Tefillin derabbein tam is not correct, Mikra Din. Well, Chassidim Anshe Maisa, Machmet, the word tefillin derabbein tam. Mikra Din, we hold that it's not kosher. So that would be Malama Kodesh Veloma Ridin, to use a tefillin zekel which was designated for Rashi's tefillin, you're going to use it for Rabbein Tam's tefillin, some of that you're not allowed to do. But to switch from one pair of tefillin to another pair of tefillin, Tashmisha Kedusha, it's the same thing. What's the difference? Same thing, let's say I had the mezuzah cases, I had mezuzah cases. They take down all the 25 mezuzahs, I give it to the sofer, he checks everything is good, then I put it back up. I don't remember which mezuzah came for which mezuzah case, so it's a violation of, you're not allowed to put a different mezuzah in this mezuzah case. All the mezuzahs, everything is kosher, it's all the same thing. What's the difference? But by tefillin is like that. Tefillin zek, you can pair it and put in a different pair of tefillin. Unless it's from the Rabbein Tam, that's Maridin. But if you have Sham Shameis, it could well be that to divert the matzeva from one mace to the other, that could be that is awesome. Could well be that is awesome.
Hey.
Yes?
I got a question. According to Rashi, couldn't you say that even if it's not a Koma Derabanan because most of the grove is called Papa, couldn't you say that that's good for the case where the Torah let you violate? Even
by the right side, it's too much. The Kohen can't be metamic for Kabbalah for you. So, even if it wasn't real Kabbalah, wouldn't it be okay?
The Kohen
is allowed to be metamic to design Kravim, not to be metamic to others,
And even though
that's the source for Kabbalah for you, so. In the sugi of Kabbalah Brias and Brachas, that you test and based of Chafim and Aleph, so Rashi and Chafim and Aleph, here's the kasha. If the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Kabbalah Brias is not Mater and Issa Deraisa, the Kumbi Asay, so how can the coin be Metami to the Mason, to the Zayn Kravim? So Rashi says that's Hutra. That's not that Kabbalah Brias is a Doichet, a Hutra. When the prohibition of Tumas Kahanim was formulated, it says, that's an exception to go, it was never included. So Tosis is not happy with that, Rashi. Tosis is not correct. They think that it's Dechuya. I, Kabrabi, is never Decha Anisa Deraisa Bikumbi, I say. So we said the other day, we were working with Tosis. Tosis says, since the love of Tumas Kahanim is Enoshova Bakol, so it's a weaker love. They borrowed that concept from the sugi in Yevamos in the beginning of Esed Decha Lo Sese. So the Gemara says there's more room to say Esed Kimidecha Lo Sese Shein Hashavah Bakol than Lo Sese Hashavah Bakol. So that's what Tosis says of Yekaber Rabbi is Decha Nisa Deraisa with Shein Hashavah Bakol, but it has to be a more significant Kaber Rabbis. So the Zayin Kroivim, that's a higher degree of Kaber Rabbis. To go Medagim Hayinu to be Mechabed the Melech, that the Gemara assumes not. The Melech is going to have a lot of covet without this. If the child is not going to come to the father's funeral, or the brother's not going to come, that will be a bizayin ames. The relatives didn't show up to the funeral. But if I won't come to the Melech, he'll have a million people minus one. If I'll come, I'll have a million people. Full million people. No. So one person more. It's not that I'll have five people instead of four people. I'm going to have a million people instead of a million minus one. So that's an insignificant covet ames. And that's enough to be matter. If it would have only been the Rabbanan, that would be enough to be matter because of Kavod Abrius. Because you want to go out of your way to show Kavod Abrius. But it's not that the Melech is going to be lacking in the Kavod. The Mace, the Zayin Kravim, is going to be lacking in the Kavod Abrius. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
We have a Tumas Bel Dopik, like related to whether it applies after you take it from Mace. Is it like an independent Tumas, or is it just like the Mace was Metame, the Gaul, the Dopik? What's the nature of the
Tumas Gol? It's not really. Whenever you have Tumas Ameis, whenever you have Tumas is transmitted, the Gemara says in the first half in Baba Kama, it has to be told the same Lapka Yetzim. The Gemara says in Malecha Shabbat is told the same Kayetzim. Yababasin told us. And Tumas has to be told the same Lapka Yetzim. Why? So the Nachlas David on the first Gemara in Baba Kama. Nachlas David was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin from the early generation. Then he gave a shiur in Volozhin during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So Nachlas David writes, this is famous, there are two different categories of Ovis and Toldus. By Ovis Shabbos, Ovis are the 39 categories, and the Toldus fall under those categories. They're subsumed under the categories. Masheni Kain, Ovis and Toldus and Tumah, Toldus means it's transmitted, then it's further transmitted. So whenever it's category, so they're told the same kai, it's a ben, it belongs in the same category, has the same dinim. If the tumah is transmitted from one to the other, to the other, to the other, so by definition it has to go down a madrig. It has to be told the same lav kai, it's a ben. So the meses are the avoisa tumah, And the girl of a doifik is also avi avayis hatumah. So how can it be? So the pashtus is, it's not that it's transmitted. The mace gives it over, so the girl of a doifik, a person who's at the funeral, becomes an avatumah. How come the girl of a doifik is an avi avayis hatumah? And the answer is, just like a mace starts off as like an original tumah. Mace is tameh. So whatever served as a girl of a doifik of a mace is tameh. Not that it's makabel tumah from the mace. It's a dovah sheinah makabel tumah. It's a slab of stone. Klei avonim, klei glonim, klei adomah, not makabel tumah. It doesn't have the shape of a kli. It's even. In principle, it shouldn't be makabel tumah. It's not makabel tumah. It is tameh. A girl of a doifik is tameh. So that's Rashi adds on a chiddush. Even after it's removed, it still remains tameh. There's a commentary. Do you ever see the Sifrei Zuta? Sifrei Zuta on Bamidbar and Dvarim. There's a Sifrei Zuta. There's the regular Sifrei. That's Stam Sifrei Reb Shimon, Aliba the Rebbe Kiva. Then you have the Sifrei Zuta. Rashi refers to it as a Sifrei B'Panim Acherim. It's a different Hebrew. It's really written in Aramaic. It's not like the regular Sifrei. And it doesn't represent Rebbe Kiva's opinion. It often represents Rebbe Shmuel's opinions. So Rashi, the Rambam has a lot of dinim that are only found in the Sifrei Zuta. And Rashi ever so often, Chumash and Gemara will quote the Sifrei Zuta, quote the Sifrei B'Parim Acherim, it's B'Parim Chadoshim. So the Sifrei Zuta was published by Talmud of the Beis HaLevi many years ago. And then it was reprinted before the Second World War by a friend of Rabbi Nachum Zemba. They had a whole bunch of businessmen in Poland. They knew all of Shas, Yerushalmi, all the Ursa Meirs by heart. They knew everything. They knew everything. Goyinim Adin, Rabbi Nachum Zemba was also a businessman. He's also in business. And he had a whole group of Polish Goyinim Adin like that. So the one who put out the Sifrei Zuta, his name was Yoskevich. Also, he asked Rabbi Nachum Zemba if he can get, he sent all the galleys of the Sefer to Rabbi Nachum Zemba if he has anything to add. So he shot off a 100-page kuntus on the Esser Kedushas, the different levels of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Everybody steals from that kuntus. It's called the what is it called? Oitzer HaSifrei. That's called Oitzer HaSifrei. That's Rabbi Nachum Zemba sent the Horus, 100 pages of the Horus, just on the first piece in the Sifrei Zuta, but the Esser Kedushas saying. The discrepancies between Esser Kedushas as it appears in the Mishnah, the first Perek in Kelim, and as it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. So he just writes on the discrepancies. He discusses everything. So the friend of his, who put out the Sefer, Yoskevich, he wrote footnotes on the bottom where he quotes every Ragat Shavar and every Yosam Meach and every Favarfin and Tosefta that anybody ever heard of. That's called Ambua Disifrei, the footnotes on the bottom. So among other things, when it comes to Parshas Chukas, he discusses this Rashi in Erev and Daf Tezvav. So he's Meyashiv the Rashi. He says it's not in contradiction to the Sifrei. Sifrei says that after we remove the girl of a doifik from the maize, it no longer has tuma on the level of the Raisa. Rashi meant to say that it has tuma on the level of the Rabbonim. Echeteisa, where did Rashi come off to explain that? So he dug by Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara and Sanhedrin says, when you bury a maize in a location, so there's tumas ameis. If someone's going to walk on top of the kever, there'll be tumim and atarim and the rabbanon, whatever. Stam aranis have a pesach tefach, so it'll only be tumim and the rabbanon. If it doesn't have a pesach tefach, it'll be tumim ritzutza, so the tumas are alive right here. Tumas ben atarim. What if you buried mace, you decide 20 years later, you move the mace to Eretz Yisrael, now there's no mace over there. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, mid the rabbanon, there's still tumim. They made a din mid the rabbanon that the kever retains the tumah mid the rabbanon even after we remove the mace. So he says Rashi shita is that girl of the doifik is matame b'toris kever. He quotes a couple of Rashi's like that. Girl of doifik has a din kever, and that's what the Gemara Sanhedrin says. Once even after he took out the mace, it still retains tumah mid the rabbanon. So he says that's the teretz on Rashi. What motivated Rashi to write it all of a sudden over here in Erevin? Why did it come in over there? That he doesn't explain. That he doesn't have any explanation for. But he thinks that the kasha that Tosfos really asked from the Sifrei is the Sifrei says on the level of the rice, and once you remove it, it does not tumah. But the Rabbanu would have, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that it still remains, it still retains the tumah of the Rabbanu. Yeah, what else do you have over here? On the top Tosfos Dalet Amud Aleph. The top Tosfos Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Boil Bilas Mitzvah U'Poresh. So why does it say Poresh? Why does it have to be Poresh? So the Gemara says, because he's also betashmish amita. We only gave a heta for bila rishayna, but during the rest of the shivas me'amishta and the rest of the shivas me'avelos, dvarim shebitzina anoyik, so he's not allowed to have tashmish amita. So Tosfos says, that's the poshut pshat. So why did the Gemara have to work so hard to prove that Rabbi Yochanan is right? The 8 lines from the bottom of Dalan and Alf from the Sile, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, Dorm Shabbat Anoyik. That's what it says. Boil Bilas Mitzvah Parish. But they have to prove it from the Sefer of the Brisa that says, Hu Yoshim Beit Anoshim, Yishtei Shein Beit Anoshim. It says Parish. So the Taptaisa says no. One could have interpreted Parish differently, that it's Parish because of Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim, so they refer you, the Gemara in the end of Nida says that the Ikar Adin, let's say a woman cuts her finger and there's bleeding. So that's not Dam Anida. Dam Anida has to be Dam and Amokar. Dam and Amokar. If it's not Min Amokar, it's not Mitame. So the Dam and Amokar is a different, the Dam is always circulating in the body, always has oxygen. Always has oxygen. The Dam Nida is not circulating. That's not circulating in the body. That's what they had a psak from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach 45 years ago. He gave a psak. Let's say a woman has a Riaz Dam, and she thinks it's from a Makkah, but you can't tell, is it from a Makkah, or is it Dam, or is it Dam Min Amokar? So he says, now you can make a test. If it's Dam Min Amokar, it's going to have no oxygen, or less oxygen or something. If it's Dam Makkah, it's going to have a lot of oxygen. So he says, if you can use a chemical test and ascertain that has a lot of oxygen, so you mate the woman. It's a Dam Makkah, it's Mutter. The Dam Besulim is not at all Dam Min Amokar. It's not from the endometrial lining. It's a totally different thing. You're cutting a membrane. Mainly, they're going to be bleeding like if you cut your fingers. The Mikar Adin, Dam Besulim, is not an Avatuma, and it does make the woman into an Avatuma, and she's Muteris Labaila. The whole thing is a Chumra Midirabbanon that was introduced at a certain point. The Gemara discusses in the end of Nida, in Perakatinoikas, the end of Nida. At what point in the Tkufa Satanoim was that introduced? So that's what Tosfos says. You can't tell. It could be that that's Pshat Boel Bilas Mitzvah Poresh. It could be that Poresh because of the Dam Besulim. It could be that this Braisa was written already after they made the Gzeira in the days of the Tanoim. That's the question. Even after the Gzeira the Rabbanan Boel Bilas Mitzvah Poresh, the Dam Besulim is Asura Labaila, is she also an Af Hatuna? Or do you say, no, she's only Asura Labaila. Maybe they only made the Gzeira the Rabbanan of Dam Besulim, that you treat it like Dam Nida. Maybe the Gzera was only introduced Ligabi Baila. Maybe it's never introduced Ligabi Taris. That's the Mishnah Achrayna on Mishnayis, and Perak HaTinoikas talks about that. The last Perak there in Nida. He says, you look in the Ramam, you get the impression that the Gzechumra, the Rabbanon of Dam Besulim, was only introduced Libaila, was never introduced Ligabi Tumah V'Tar. You have sometimes differences. Because Nida Labaila and Nida Lataris are unrelated. It's possible that a woman is a Nida Labaila and she's not Tomei at all. It's possible that a woman is an Avhatuma Minatora and she's not a Nida Labaila. They're not Tolis Elizer. Rabbi Chana Vassman has a long essay about this in Yevamos. They say from Yevamos, we quote from Gemaris and from Rishonim that they're not necessarily Tolis Elizer. Okay, we got what's going to be tomorrow? We'll find out the good news later today. Okay. We gotta go weiter, we gotta move on. Okay, so let's start B'li Nedef, or B'li Shia tomorrow, whenever. So we'll start from the bottom of Dalet on the days. Omamar. 2 lines from the bottom, and Amman Alam. Used to be a professor who lived here in their neighborhood, Professor Levy. His brother in law used to be connected with the Karim Yam, Eli Klein. So this Professor Levy was a riot. He used to teach political science in the city university. So he always had boys from Torah V'Das, always had shtick. They want to get away with the studying Gemara, and they don't have to study for the exam, and so on. So once they told him, he said, what Gemara are you learning? It was only like, what Gemara? So he said, he's learning the first Perek in Ksubis. So he said, is there a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur the night before, or only in the mitzvah in the daytime? So the kid looked at him, never heard. So the famous Rashi and Ksubis, the Bir Agro quotes the Rashi, and the next daf, Hamad Allah. So keep your eyes open. Okay.